Anderson windows and one Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to hallswindowcenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, invites you to the People Before Politics Picnic and Rally, hosted by Rob Haswell, Democratic candidate for the 4th Assembly District, on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6 p.m. at Camp Lotus in Coloma. Bring the family and friends to this free event, featuring live music by Mother Jones and the Jim Dyer Band. The Haswell campaign bus makes its last whistle stop of the campaign on the American River at Camp Lotus for an old-fashioned picnic with free barbecue and fresh farm foods growing in our very own Sierra foothills. And there will be games and other activities for the kids. Rob Haswell will be joined by special guests, including State Senator-to-be Daryl Steinberg and former Congressman Pete McCloskey. Don't miss an afternoon on the American River at Camp Lotus in Coloma on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6, and enjoy a great afternoon of politics, food, and live music. For more information, go to robhaswellforassembly.com or call 530-889-2278.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Ford has 75,000 workers covered by the United Auto Workers contracts. All of them have a buyout on the table if they want it. Value, $30,000 to $140,000.
A summer of weak sales due to high gasoline prices has pushed Ford into accelerating its turnaround plan. It's likely to mean more job cuts and faster, says Dave Cole, who heads the Center for Auto Research.
They have to do this as a matter of survival. They can't be what they were.
Ford says it has to become smaller and more nimble. It's expected to offer buyouts and early retirements to both manufacturing and white-collar employees and find ways to limit the number of incentives it puts on its vehicles. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
You'll remember the Dawson College invasion in Montreal yesterday by a young man with a rifle and a trench coat. The Quebec provincial police have done their forensics, and now they say that Dawson College killer Kim Veer Gill, in fact, died after shooting himself in the head. It was not police bullets that did it. The debate in the Senate is how far do you go when questioning captured terrorists? President Bush says the current program of CIA questioning must continue, and Congress needs to pass enabling law.
I will resist any bill that does not enable this program to be go forward with legal clarity.
Another bill limits how far interrogators may go with greater specificity. Senator John McCain is a prime mover on it.
Men and women in the military could be placed in jeopardy if we amend the Geneva Conventions, because other nations would then do the same and maybe turn them over to their secret police.
John McCain speaks to Katie Couric tonight on the CBS Evening News. There was a 10-hour problem getting the solar arrays on the International Space Station to unfurl properly. Blame it on software.
These solar arrays are enormous. I mean, when they're fully extended, they stretch 240 feet from tip to tip. They're attached to a rotary joint that lets them turn 360 degrees as the station goes around the Earth to keep the sun face onto these panels, which maximizes electrical production. It's a very big deal.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says once the glitch was handled, the solar arrays stretched out their arms. Doctors say just shows parity can be achieved.
It's been described as an important milestone toward erasing racial and ethnic divides. Virtually no statistical difference among black, white, Asian, and Hispanic youngsters when it comes to vaccination rates. But at Emory University, immunization specialist Dr. Walter Orenstein says no handstands, please, not yet.
We're still not there for the complete series of immunizations. And we're still not there for every child who's not immunized as a child at risk of a vaccine-preventable disease.
Officials say government programs that pay for immunizations for the poor helped close the gap. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
On Wall Street today, the Dow lost nearly 16 points. The NASDAQ gained a point. This is CBS News.
Since you guys have licensed insurance counselors, can you tell me how to break the news to my wife that I just bought a sports car?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed car insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available in most states and situations.
Asthma, diabetes, heart disease. I see real health problems in our communities and too many people who don't see a doctor until it's too late.
Thais directs GSK's Healthy Communities programs.
We're taking a real active role working with community groups to offer free health screenings and connecting local doctors with people that really need help. It's a start toward helping folks live healthier lives, and that does my heart good.
GSK, finding a way forward, one community at a time.
A software glitch that just might toss you right off the scooter.
These self-balancing scooters can lose their stability control when the computer unexpectedly tells the wheels to go in reverse. Down they go.
Segway and the CPSC are aware of 6 reports of the personal transporter not operating properly.
CPSC spokesperson Julie Valise.
There were injuries to the head and wrist of the user.
All 23,500 Segways must be fixed. You can go to a dealer, ship it for free, or if you have a fleet like some police departments, a technician will come to you. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A new planet, actually it's been around a while, but a planet's been discovered that's so fluffy it would float on earthly water. It's too large to do that. In fact, it's the largest of nearly 200 worlds astronomers have studied outside the solar system. HAT P1 is in the Lacerta constellation, about 450 light years from Earth. It's puffy, but whatever it is, it doesn't easily burn away. 20 times closer to its star as Earth is to the Sun, and it has a year that just lasts 4.5 days, and it's still puffy. Harley Carnes.
Are you having trouble paying your...
AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and Freedom from War invite you to take part in a week of education and entertainment. The first annual Week of Peace is Sunday, October 1st through Saturday, October 7th. The week includes daily events, including a Peace Awards dinner, the screening of the extraordinary film Beyond Treason, a panel discussion on peace featuring congressional candidates, a jazz mixer, and more. The Week of Peace is a unique opportunity to explore with others the realization of a world of nonviolence, peace, and social justice. For more information, log on to freedomfromwar.org or go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com. Find out how you can purchase a passport to all of the events with your $50 donation going to your favorite peace organization. So join AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel and Freedom from War and stand up for peace by taking part in Peace Week, October 1st through October 7th.
And on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can always contact me in a variety of ways. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And all calls to Enid Live are toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, it's 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. Today, in the 4 o'clock hour, we will be joined by Nora Ephron, and I'm really looking forward to this. I'm a big fan of her work, and her new book, which is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, is I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. And she is also a screenwriter and a director, and When Harry Met Sally and Silkwood and Sleepless in Seattle are all Nora Ephron, so and a number of bestsellers as well. But this is her first collection of essays in about 20 years, and it's a pretty witty collection. I'm enjoying reading it. So that happens in the 4 o'clock hour. And I want to just let you know that upcoming guests On Monday, we are going to be joined by Edward P. Jones, who has won both a Pulitzer Prize and a National Book Award. His brand new book is called All Aunt Hager's Children. Tuesday, Shelley Lewis, who is a co-creator of Air America, and she has been a television news producer. She's written a new book called Naked Republicans, a full frontal exposure of right-wing hypocrisy and greed. And coming attractions include Biba Caggiano, our very own Biba, who is, of course, the proprietor of what has been called the best restaurant in Sacramento, Biba's. She has a brand new cookbook out called Biba's Italy, Favorite Recipes from the Splendid Cities. And maybe, just maybe, we might be able to get some extra copies, we're hoping, from the publisher so that we can kind of distribute them to you, the audience. It's not exactly the Oprah show, but gosh, kind of, sort of, almost. Well, I am very sorry that I looked last night before I left, and I saw an obituary. First of all, I saw the picture on the front page of the New York Times without seeing what the copy was of Ann Richards, and I thought, oh, my God, this can't be good, and it wasn't. She has died. And it just seems like yesterday I saw her on television. I felt like just yesterday I saw her on Larry King Live. And she was wearing her trademark hairdo, which she always joked was blessed by the Pope, and so she was never going to change it. I'm sure it wasn't blessed by the Pope, but it was a great line. Just like she talked about Bush Sr. as being born with a, what was it, silver foot in his mouth or something. She was very funny, and she was very witty, and she changed the whole landscape in Texas in a variety of ways. She appointed people who had been victims of crime to various boards that regulated those kinds of things. She, a board that would regulate the activities of disabled people, she appointed someone who was disabled. I mean, the things that seemed like common sense were very new. She was interested in a new Texas. And Dickey said today that he was saddened by the death of a one-time political rival and former Texas Governor Ann Richards, and that Texas has lost one of its great daughters. The thing is, what he's not saying, and he's how sorry she's gone, is that Rove smeared her, and that's how Dickey got elected governor of Texas. He smeared her. They started to float rumors that she was a lesbian. She's got four children, which I guess you could probably still be a lesbian and have four children. She was remarkably candid about her past, that she had had a drinking problem. She said it was the low point in her life. She never thought that she would have fun or be as devil-may-care if she stopped drinking, but in fact, that never was an issue. And so she is dead at 73, and when I saw her on Larry King Live, she was living in New York. She had lost the election. She was living in New York, and she was a spokesperson for an anti-osteoporosis drug, because apparently she had been diagnosed with osteoporosis. So she was also doing a lot in helping women to open the doors to political careers. And her observations about politics were refreshing, were candid, were witty, were as blunt-spoken as she, and extremely instructive. So I am so sorry that she's gone. She had a lot of sass and a lot of class, and she was feisty, and she is dead at the age of 73. One of the things we talked about yesterday was the arena situation, and there is further reporting on it. The Bee's piece, I don't know if you saw the reporting in the Bee today, but it's even more horrendous than what we first learned yesterday, late in the day. The Maloof family has walked away from talks with the city and the county of Sacramento over the terms of locating a new arena in the downtown rail yard, a heavy blow to community leaders trying to sell the arena proposal to the public. And just reading this and not knowing all the fine points of whatever the contractual details were, it certainly sounds like the Maloofs wanted everything. They got probably 99% of what they wanted, it seems to me, but they wanted it all. And at some point, the city finally put its foot down. City and county finally, said, that's it. I don't know at what point, but I think if this passes, I will just be amazed. I just think everybody ought to drop it. But certainly costs have been incurred in the whole business of the new arena. The city and county want it on the rail yard. We are hearing that the rail yard is so contaminated that it's not going to be possible to have anything there without a considerable amount of work. And then it's not clear whether or not it's possible to negotiate the location that everybody seems to want to have. And here is Joe Maloof accusing the city and county of backing away from terms previously agreed to. He said his family won't give money to the campaign until its needs for a downtown site are met. So I suppose they're trying to strong arm the city and county by saying, hey, we'll just walk away from this. You need us more than we need you. You tell me what your thoughts are about this. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But as it stands now, the Maloof family has walked away from talks with the city and county of Sacramento. You think they'll walk back? You think this is just a ploy for the city and county to dangle more things in their face? There are no more negotiations. We've already discussed all the issues, said Joe Maloof. They know what we need. We've told them. The disagreement centers on parking, the size of the arena site, and what? And on what, if any, kinds of retail or housing would also go into the sports and entertainment zone. Pro-arena forces were left with the very real possibility that they may be campaigning for new sales tax on the ballot to build an arena in the rail yard without the owners of the NBA franchise on board. So if this were to be successful, which I think is pretty much a long shot, if this were to be successful and the Kings walk away, you've got this big old arena. It'll just be perfect for ballet and for the symphony and all the things that everybody said, oh, well, we need a new venue for that. Well, I think we already, are there such huge crowds for ballet and for symphony where they hardly can make the payroll from performance to performance? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And I think we already have an arena, don't we? Or did it disappear when nobody was looking in the middle of the night? So here is the Maloofs apparently want to eliminate housing, hotels, and retail plan for the proposed sports and entertainment complex. And they don't want their revenue interfered with at all, even though they're just getting the biggest corporate welfare, the biggest handout. And contrast this with the strike that's still in progress, as far as I know. The garbage still stinking, building up. There isn't money for those kinds of infrastructure issues, but, gee, there's so much money to be thrown around for this ridiculous idea of an arena. I thought it was ridiculous in the first place, and it has gotten even more ridiculous, if you can imagine that. And one of the other things that we talked about is, well, nobody was looking, and finally it's being reported in the Bee. Schwartzy signed a bill Wednesday that includes a provision added in the waning days of the legislative session, just hidden away in there, stuck away, that would allow him to nearly double the pay of 50 top state bosses. Under AB 2936, the workers, mostly heads of agencies and departments, could get as much as 125% of the governor's salary. And the governor's salary is due to be raised to $206,500. And as I understand it, he does not take his salary. That would mean that the top administrators would qualify for as much as $258,125. And what's being reported is that they really want the person who heads up the prisons to get that salary because it's a tough job. And because this administration has meddled so deeply in the process that anybody who's really good, who would have been a terrific candidate, who might have been innovative, has walked out the door. So here, buried in other legislation, I don't have a problem, especially the prison system, trying to pay a decent salary for it, and this is a very decent salary if it's almost $260,000. But it isn't like you come from the private sector. I mean, how many private sector prisons are there, actually? Well, I know that there are private prisons, but you're not competing with private sector salaries in the same way. Still, it's a huge problem. You want somebody really good, but anybody who is really good is not going to stay for very long in a situation where they're being second-guessed and micromanaged by an administration that has no ideas how to fix the horrible prison meltdown situation that we have. Gubernatorial rivals are set to debate, and this we talked about yesterday as well. Phil and Arnold are going to debate each other. They get to sit down doing it because I think Phil is taller than Arnold. Well, Arnold won't have to sit on a phone book because I bet you they have those adjustable chairs and he'll just ratchet his up, you know, without the Viagra. He'll make it grow taller. And Phil could make his chair grow taller, too, and maybe he'll look a lot taller than Arnold, but who knows. What is very a heads up, a red flag for me, is that this is only going to happen one time. This is a one-time only debate between Phil and Arnold. This is it. Okay? And they're going to be sitting down. And it isn't like it's going to be moderated by somebody who can walk in with impeccably neutral credentials. Because the man who's going to be moderating it is Stan Statham, president and CEO of the California Broadcasters Association. He was a one-time Republican legislator from Reading. He is going to be the only non-candidate on the debate stage. He said that he will select the questions after reaching out to as many voters as possible. So is he going to select softballs? He's somebody who walks in with Republican credentials. Now, no matter how neutral he's going to want to appear, certainly that tells us who he is walking into this debate. I think that's not a good choice for somebody to moderate the debate. And there is not going to be a second debate. The head of Angelita's campaign, which appears to me in meltdown, to tell you the truth, said that Angelita's would agree to a joint appearance with Schwartzy under the conditions that neither candidate would appear with notes and that neither of them would be given the questions in advance. No notes, no questions in advance. Statham said the broadcaster's format had already barred advanced questions. He said the association will decide later on whether or not you could bring in notes. Or you can write on the back of your hand. Or like Bush did in the debate, he was wired with something. And people who do commercials use this. There's a device that you put in your ear so you don't have to memorize the script. There's a device that goes into your ear and information is fed to you. You're getting it in your ear and you just are saying it as you're getting it. And in the debates, Bush looked like he was wearing some bulky device. And remember, everybody said he was wearing that kind of a gizmo that was that is in his ear, and he was being fed the answers. So Arnold is so bulky, how would we know? As for the table, the Angelides campaign agreed to having the candidates sit down, despite a letter from the Angelides campaign to Statham last week, insisting that the discussion be subject to a generally accepted debate format. The Phil campaign would like to have candidates standing at lecterns, but she said, this is Kathy Calfo who runs the campaign, she would accept a more casual format, including stools and candidates walking around on stage. I guess they're going to be sitting now. One of Phil's spokespeople said that it's not actually a debate. It's really a conversation. It's a joint appearance, so it's like a coffee clutch. Why did Phil accept this? Because those are the only terms he could get? Was that it? Schwartzy accepted only the offer from the broadcasters. There have been other offers. There have been television stations in Los Angeles, Fresno, and San Francisco, MSNBC. Meet the Press has also asked for a debate. The California League of Conservation Voters, UC Davis League of Women Voters, Town Hall, and Town Hall Los Angeles, everybody wants a debate, and Schwartzy is only going to, they don't want him to debate. They don't want him in an unscripted situation. This is a guy who's spent a lifetime reading muscle magazines. This isn't somebody who's going to be that great on his feet, I don't think, but maybe I'll be wrong.
I lied.
349-1320-866-626-1320. Donna in Folsom, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Enid. I just remembered when you mentioned about Bush appearing to have something in his ear during the debates, and I know that wasn't the majority of the topic that you're on here, but I just wondered, if that were the case, wouldn't the people on the stage, like namely Kerry, have noticed such a thing and said something?
There was a lot of blogging. There was a lot of conversation in the blogosphere about it. And I don't know to what extent you would notice it. I've never used this kind of a device. It's very possible that you wouldn't really, you know, how close are they going to get with each other?
Well, how close was the camera? I mean, he was as close to him as it appeared the camera was on him, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, the camera will distort it, but I think they were in different... I really, it's been a while since I saw any footage of those debates, but you could... All right, let's just think it through here. You could have this device. You're going to wear it on your person. Let's say you're wearing it a wire down your back.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you got a little box or some little something that's down your back. Who's going to see it? You got to have something in your ear, and if it's a wireless device, I'm assuming that the technology is such that it could be a wireless device. You don't see anything going down in the back. But see, now, when you're doing television, I can tell you this for certain. It's called an IFB, which I never knew what it stands for, but you're wearing an IFB in your ear when you're doing television. For example, if you watch Lois and Dave or anybody on television, they're wearing IFBs, and when I appear, I am too, and that's the only way you can hear. Let's say I'm in Sacramento and the show is originating in New York on MSNBC or Fox or one of those, and so that's the only way you are hearing the host's questions to you or the show is through that IFB in your ear.
Well,
and if you're a television anchor, you're getting information, you're getting directions from your producer. So they're talking to you in your ear while you are, while you are on the air, presumably.
Now, if that is the case, hello.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
If that is the case, I really think Terry rolled over, and I first thought so in the debate. Because he was bouncing his head up and down like, yes, everything Bush said bad about him. And even if he did notice the device, I wonder if he rolled over and he knew it was going on.
Why would he roll over? What percentage is there for him to roll over?
I don't think he wanted to win is what I mean. I think he...
Well, guess what he's saying now? You think that he wanted him to win intellectually but not deep in his heart?
I don't know. I think maybe... These boys are all friends in the background, and maybe there was some kind of deal. I just don't
know. Well, how would it benefit John Kerry to lose?
I don't know. But maybe some, you know, maybe, well, we'll back you on something, and you're not going to, I don't know what.
All right, so then let's bring it to the gubernatorial race here. Why is Phil so, why is that whole, it looks to me like this is a campaign in meltdown.
I just think like some of the Democrats at the top are rolling over to the Republicans, and I don't know why. I just have a gut feeling.
I hope you're wrong about that, Donna, but it is an interesting question to ask, and I thank you for asking it. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
My database does not encompass the dynamics of human peer bonding.
Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
I'm pretty sure that's what he'll be saying on Saturday. Lisa West here with traffic and weather from the left. We do have a little bit of traffic going on southbound 99 at Fruit Ridge Road. It looks like also northbound I-5 or southbound Capacity Freeway just north of E Street. We have a vehicle in the roadway stopping traffic. And Murrieta Drive at just south of Murrieta Parkway. We have a three-car crash there as well, but it looks like no injuries going on. We have lows tonight right around, I guess, 58. It's going to be a little chillier than we thought, and it looks like rain, precipitation coming into our future in the next week or so. Highs tomorrow about 92. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
My back was killing me for 20.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beat Severn and MMA legend Boz Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel invites you to the 5th Annual Voters Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 p.m. to 5:30. This free event presented by the Asian Pacific Islander American Public Affairs Association is your opportunity to hear candidates running for office, including a debate between California Lieutenant Governor hopefuls John Garamendi and Tom McClintock. Also expect a lively debate on the downtown sports arena issue between supporters including Daryl Steinberg and foes like Assemblymember Dave Jones.
You can also win one of two $1,000 cash raffle prizes for taking a day off from work to vote.
Be an informed voter. Join 1,000 other interested citizens at this year's Voter Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 5:30 p.m. More information is at APAPA.org. That address again is APAPA.org.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live at 4 in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Nora Ephron, who is, I'm a big fan of hers. She has a brand new book out called I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. And you know her from When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle, etc. So she will be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. We're talking about the debate. This is the gubernatorial debate that's going to be going on. This is between Phil and Arnold. Only one time, that's it. One time, October the 7th, on the campus of Sac State. And it's on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. Let me be sure if that's exactly... I think my recollection... Now, who is going to listen to a debate on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Marjorie in Lincoln. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid. I have a little comment to make about the scandalous device that George wore for the debate. Do you recall that there was a shot of his back, a very clear shot of his back, and without doubt you could see where there was a device, a rectangular, small device in about the middle of his back, his thoracic area, through his coat.
Yes, I remember. Say? I don't know if I actually saw it or if I saw the pictures later, but yes, it looked very odd.
Oh, yes, yes.
It wasn't like a rectangular tumor?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he either had a nerve stimulator on or or some other stimulator of some kind, or he had exactly what you're talking about.
Well, how do we know, and Arnold is so bulky, how will we know that Arnold isn't going to have something like that on?
You won't, and I think that you can probably take that one to the bank. I mean, and I am disappointed as well. I don't think that, number one, the person, I agree with you 100%, the person that's being the moderator absolutely should be above reproach.
Should be somebody who you don't know what their background is. Whatever their background is, you shouldn't know it. They should walk in a clean slate, a neutral performer here, or a neutral observer, or a neutral, and a news person would be better. This is somebody who has had a political campaign, who's now the head of a broadcaster's organization, and he's getting his questions from, you know, he's surveying people for his questions. I'm sure he's a delightful man. Maybe I've even met him. I don't know. I'm not trying to badmouth him, but I don't think he's the right choice for this debate.
And he's going to choose the questions. Give me a break.
Well, that's it. And here, and the question is whether or not you can have notes. Phil's campaign doesn't want you to have notes because, you know.
Well, sure.
Yes.
If we have our binder in front of us, anybody, I mean, even me, could sit there and go, just a moment, turn the pages. Oh, okay.
All right, but is Phil's campaign saying you can't have one of these devices that coaches you by wireless?
Well, you know, you would think that that would go without saying, but I certainly think that they ought to put that in black and white, because I do not
Wait. What if they strip, you know, they do a pat-down before, like a strip search, a pat-down before?
Oh, I absolutely think they should, and I don't think it should be done by anybody on either side. It should be, again, a person.
Oh, I know. All right, I have the perfect candidate for doing the pat-down. Sure. We'll get a TSA screener. They know how to do these.
Okay.
They'll wand them. They can wand them,
That's
too.
Wand them, and, I mean, if they have anything, well... Electrical.
How about some woman of great pulchritude? I think Arnold might not mind.
We'll
get Bonnie Garcia. We'll get Bonnie Garcia. She's hot.
Oh, my God, that's right. She's hot.
She's hot, and he won't mind, and we'll get a whole big box of latex gloves. And they can have a lot.
At least you can screw up his stimulator if he doesn't have one.
Well, if she's wearing latex gloves and doing the pat-down, then you know what we can say afterward?
What?
We can ask him how his glove life is. Thank you, Marjorie. I appreciate the call. 349-1320-866-620-61320. This is going to take place at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. Now, it's conceivable that if you're driving somewhere, and I'm guessing it will be televised. It's going to be the only debate, so certainly I would imagine it will be televised, since the guy who's moderating it is the CEO and head of the California Broadcasters Association. But presumably you'll be able to hear it as you're driving along on your way to somewhere on a Saturday night. 6 o'clock on a Saturday night, you're going somewhere. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Jen, in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, Enid. I wanted to make a comment regarding the Maloof supposedly backing out of the deal. And I really believe that, one, it's just a tactic, but I believe that they think that the people do not want the new arena based on their name, so they claim to back out, so we'll let it go through, and then they jump in miraculously at the end and say, oh, yeah, we're part of it, give us your money.
Wait. What? It's a tactic in what way?
Well, because they know that the people do not want the arena, and most of the comments have been because the Maloofs are already rich. Why are we giving the money to the rich people? So if they back out and then we say, okay, well, we'll go with the arena now that it's not attached to them, and then we don't know how they can write their names in, and then eventually the money gets back to their pockets.
I'm going to you should be writing novels and thrillers. But I'm going to tell you what Dr. Dina Dell tells people when they call in with symptoms, and you know you always think it's the worst thing in the world. He says, think horses, not zebras. So think horses here, not zebras, Jen. In other words, I think that they probably walked out more as a ploy to getting what they want rather than to appear miraculously at the end of the process.
Yeah, well,
I think that they're genuinely as greedy as they sound in the reporting.
Oh, definitely, and they are greedy, and the nerve of them to expect to have as much money as they do, not to participate and give of it, because if it's only going to cost millions, they're worth billions. So why not pay for it and then get your money back?
They want everything. They want it all. They want us to pick up the check for everything, and then they want to get all the revenue. They want it all, Jen.
Yes.
I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Jennifer in Vacaville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, I was just calling. I work actually on the Angelita's campaign, and I just wanted to say that part of the reason I, the no-note thing is because Phil has a mind like a steel trap. And I'm sure
he does. I like that provision, although I don't know if he'll be successful there, but go ahead.
Well, but that's what we need, just a one-on-one debate with no one in the ear, so that Arnold can let Californians know who he is and what he stands for.
Well, do you first of all, I'm glad that you've called with being with the campaign, because is there any provision in place to keep Arnold from wearing the device that we think Bush used in a debate?
I don't know that. I don't work that end of the campaign. I work as a volunteer.
Okay. Why has Phil been missing in action? And let me ask you a question. In all the conversation that has occurred this week on accessing that particular website, remember the website that indicates that catches him candidly talking about this Latina and calling her hot, this Latina legislator. I'm trying to find now. Here it is. It turns, and then what has happened is that Phil's campaign is now on the defensive. well, right. we didn't do anything bad. It was an unauthorized. It was some lower-level staffers. They didn't check with me. I wouldn't have let them do it. And now they're backed into a corner. Guess what? There is a big radio station in Los Angeles called KFI. And it turns out that one of the hosts on KFI said that he has been accessing this website and this allegedly private area of Schwarzenegger's website for years. That there's all kinds of stuff in there, and that nothing, and I don't think this guy is a Democrat either. He said there were no passwords, there were no scary warnings, nothing remotely like that. The section of the governor's website in question has apparently now been taken offline, but this talk host on KFI in Los Angeles said he has been accessing this stuff forever. So right. why did the campaign let itself be cowered into a corner is a question. Do you have an answer to that question?
I don't personally have an answer. I just think that as Democrats, we're going to have to get tougher, and as long as laws are not being broken, that we're going to have to fight the tough fight. This is politics.
Yeah, well, we're supporting Phil, but the campaign is so being so ineptly run that they're letting themselves be backed into a corner. They should be coming out swinging, saying everybody and their mother can access that website and talk about how if this were happening in the workplace, Arnold could come up for charges of sexual harassment and take it from there and go on the offensive, not be on the defensive. You tell them, Jennifer.
I will pass that along.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
349-1320, 866-626-1320, Tom and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Tom.
My idea of this whole thing with the Maloofs and the arena is that they've always wanted to take the team to Las Vegas. And so they're just going to play this game, you know. They're trying to get way too much from us.
They've already gotten way too much, and it's still not enough for these greedy people.
I used to be, I had tickets. I'm a Kings fan. But I think from the get-go, that was their idea. But if, in fact, we just give them everything they wanted, they'd stay. But if we don't, they'll go. So.
And what's the cost-to-benefit ratio there?
Not much.
Okay. Well, then I'll say to the Maloofs, adios. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. Well, our precipitation looks like it's going to be happening. For the next couple of days, we might see a little sprinkle, but I think it's sprinkled on my way here, actually. 49% humidity, and our temperature tonight will be right around 57. We are at 82 in the River City. Is that right? I need to walk outside. Traffic, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. We have a vehicle on the right-hand side stopping traffic. A three-car crash just beyond that. Northbound Cap City Freeway just south of Elks. And a three-car crash. It looks like emergency vehicles are blocking in the lane at Marietta and just south of Marietta Parkway. Disabled vehicle, northbound 99 at Center Horn Road. Back with more Enid Live.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left. You can... America.
I'm Scott Farrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk. Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live is, you know, it's so, when I came in earlier, I think we've got a little bit of sun, but it was so autumnal and nippy outside. I kind of like that. These are the days when you want to curl up with a good book and be near a fire, or you want to be near somebody who seems like their fireplace. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about the gubernatorial, we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the Maloofs walking out of the debate, or out of the, sorry, about the, well, actually they have. They're walking out of the arena deal and debating over the terms, and they are so greedy that they have gotten most everything they wanted, but they wanted it all. So I don't know what's going to happen to the arena deal, which is every day is another story of meltdown. And speaking of meltdown, we're talking about Schwartzy and Phil, who are going to debate each other on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock, October the 7th, at Sac State. Do you think there's going to be a big audience for it, particularly since people who vote tend to be older now? There was a whole study of who exactly is voting. 72% of likely voters are white, 14% are Latino, 6% are black, 5% are Asian American, 3% are other. So, and then you have the guy who's going to be moderating it. I'm sure he's a lovely man, but in his past, he was a Republican legislator from Reading. So does he walk in with impeccably neutral credentials? He does not. And is he a newsman? He is. I don't think he is. Maybe he was in some part of his life. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But he says he's going to be rounding up questions from people who are, you know, he's going to sort of take a poll of what people want to know from the candidates, and it's billed more as a joint conversation than it is a debate. And the Angelides campaign is saying no notes. 349-1320, no, not even any high notes. Chad, calling from SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chad.
Oh, hi. Hey, Enid, I wanted to talk about Arnold complaining that someone was listening in on one of his conversations. He clearly hasn't spoken with President Bush, because President Bush firmly believes that anytime someone wants to listen in on a conversation, it's perfectly legal to do it.
That's very good.
Been all day long.
That is.
Could I quote President Bush again?
Yeah.
If you're not saying something bad, you don't have nothing to worry about.
Oh, Chad, that's really good. Thank you.
Is that good?
Yeah, that was good. Thank you very much for that. We like that. All right. So Chad is talking about the administration, and let me share with you. This is from KFI Radio in Los Angeles, where I have done a little bit of work. The controversy over whether Arnold Schwarzenegger's opponent's staff, that would be Phil Angelides, hacked into the governor's website to obtain a controversial closed-door meeting tape took on new dimensions when the former producer of one of the talk shows in Los Angeles on KFI said that he and the show have been similarly accessing that allegedly private area of Schwarzenegger's website for years. The producer of this particular show said that the area of the site with tapes of speeches is not password protected and is accessible with a slight URL alteration and has been open to public access for years with the same URL that Democrat Phil Angelides staffers allegedly used to get the tape of Schwartzy musing about the ethnicity of a legislator and talking about how hot she is. So here's what I would do if I were the Angelides campaign. First of all, to muse about these things is pretty dumb. To muse about them in an environment, in a venue where the whole universe can hear you is dumber still. It's really dumb to be in an environment that isn't password protective and do these kinds of musings that you want to keep in private. I mean, in every way, what Phil's campaign could do is to paint Arnold's campaign as dumb and dumber. This is a really cute, muscly guy, but he hasn't got a brain in his head, using that as a sort of narrative. And the Los Angeles Times has reported that there's all these Homeland Security monies available to the state of California, and the state of California hasn't stepped up to the plate to collect them because they can't get it together, or they're mired in bureaucracy or something. But anyway, there are funds available to the state of California, and the state of California is not standing up to the plate. So what has Arnold done? The prisons remain in meltdown. If anything, they've gotten worse in his tenure, not better. We could be doing more along the lines of Homeland Security, but the state hasn't gotten it together. And who do you blame? You blame the guy at the top. Here he is musing and saying all these low-life kind of things. Well, if you want to say them, that's fine. But if you're so dumb that you can't figure out how to say them privately and keep it private, and you don't know how to even have the technological skills or hire the people who do to keep this stuff private, then I don't think it reflects well on you. Then you don't look like a CEO who's got it together, who knows what he's doing. And this is what Phil's campaign ought to be pointing out, and not cowering in a corner saying, well, you know, it was a couple of low-level staffers, and I don't think we did anything wrong, and I would have never authorized that, Phil. I would have never authorized that if I had known. Just come out swinging. That's what you do in a case like this, because here's a radio show in Los Angeles, and they typically access that information, 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. Well, we do have a couple of traffic hazards on through Sacramento. Roseville, Madison Avenue, and I-80. We have a three-car crash there. Over on I-5, just past J Street, a two-car crash involving a big rig. And southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road, we do have a disabled vehicle on the right and a crash just above that. Lows tonight right around 58. Highs coming up tomorrow. We're going to receive around 92, 93. We're at 86, and I walked outside here at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, I've got some good...
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Talk to Enid now.
We can't have you talking that way. It frightens me for children.
349-1320.
3:57 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about the debate. It's going to be on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock on chairs, and I'll bet you they swivel up so that you can adjust them and be taller than you really are. Are people going to be very interested to watch this debate? I'm going to be very interested, or to listen to it. What do you think is going to happen here? Dan in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hi, Enid. Just wanted to make a brief comment on Arnold. I pointed out to you earlier that Arnold is educated.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
The roadblock goes up on Capitol Hill.
President Bush personally asks Congress to pass his bill for terror trials, but some Senate Republicans say no.
Ford launches a massive cutback.
It is not selling enough vehicles to make enough money for the size of company that it is.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Dr. Bush made a house call today, but his patient, a plan for dealing with terror suspects, took a turn for the worse. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
President Bush made a rare visit to Capitol Hill to personally lobby for bills to authorize warrantless wiretaps and lay down rules for questioning and trying suspected terrorists.
I reminded them that the most important job of government is to protect the homeland.
But just hours later, a Senate committee led by Republicans defied Mr. Bush and passed a bill he's threatened to veto, leaving provisions of the Geneva Convention alone and, says Senator John Warner, barring secret evidence at military tribunals.
If that information is such it would reveal sources and methods, then the trial simply can't go forward.
Former Secretary of State Colin Powell weighed in, saying America has to treat prisoners the way it would want its own soldiers treated if they're captured. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. President Bush made clear he'll veto the version of the bill approved by the Senate committee in the belief it would force the CIA interrogation program to be shut down. Spokesman Tony Snow says the bill must clarify what CIA interrogators can and cannot do.
Torture is prohibited, murder is prohibited, rape is prohibited, cruel and degrading treatment is prohibited. All those things are prohibited, and what we're trying to do is to make clear what the prohibited list is. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Snow says the interrogation program has saved lives and helped to foil terror plots. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Now this.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
A day before Ford Motor Company announces additional cutbacks, it's offering all of its hourly workers, more than 75,000 people, a chance to take buyouts or early retirement. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit Station WWJ reports.
Ford's competitor General Motors used a similar buyout plan to successfully cut more than 30,000 jobs. Ford's looking to cut at least that many positions, if not more. But Dave Cole of the Center for Auto Research says Ford may have a tougher time getting its workers to accept buyouts.
The Ford workforce is somewhat younger than the General Motors workforce.
Ford is prepared to announce more job cuts and possibly more plant closings as it steps up the pace of its previously announced turnaround plan. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Dale Jewett of Automotive News says the carmaker is in a long-term struggle to regain market share.
Ford still sells more vehicles than Toyota. But over the last several years, a growing number of people have been shifting their buying presence.
The United Auto Workers Union says the buyouts are worth up to $140,000. Walmart is ending a tradition started more than 40 years ago by founder Sam Walton. The retailing giant says it will no longer offer layaways due to rising costs and declining demand. In Iraq, military spokesman Sergeant Jeremy Pitcher says troops guarding a power plant were targeted today.
Vehicle-borne improvised explosive device exploded. This explosion caused the death of two multinational division Baghdad soldiers. 25 other soldiers were also wounded in the attack.
Elsewhere in the area, an American soldier was killed by small arms fire, and another died in the explosion of a roadside bomb. Baghdad's sectarian violence claimed at least 20 more lives today, and six Iraqis were killed when a car bomb exploded at a soccer field in Fallujah. Authorities in Montreal now say Dawson College shooter Kimvir Gill took his own life by shooting himself in the head. In the aftermath of yesterday's rampage, they'd indicated that Gill was taken down by police gunfire. He shot 20 people, killing one. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Heidi, check up.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I remember the days of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever. Back roads empty for miles. Well, you can't have a dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw you, I knew we'd go together like a wink and a smile.
4:06, 6 minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Remember, we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Joining us in this segment, Nora Ephron, whose new book is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, I Feel Bad About My Neck, and other thoughts on being a woman. And the music you're hearing is from one of her films, Sleepless in Seattle, Harry Connick Jr. Nora Ephron, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, where do I begin? I love this book.
Thank you.
And I'm delighted that it's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. It's in some ways I would, you know, from the book world of book publishing, it's sort of an unlikely number one pick, don't you think? I mean, nothing to take nothing.
By about Iraq can be number one.
You mean a pain in the neck as opposed to I feel bad about my neck?
I don't know, but you know, there's no question there are a lot of people out there who feel bad about their neck. So I'm not, you know, I'm thrilled to be number one, but you know, there it is.
Well, I've been reading this book, and this book is delicious, and it is said to be your first collection of essays.
No.
In the last 20 years.
Oh, yes, for years and years.
Yes,
my
for years and
years.
All right, so tell us, what is it that prompted you to write it, except that you looked at you in the mirror one day and you said, oh, my God.
You say except that you looked in the mirror one day, but the truth is there's a certain point in your life where you stop looking in the mirror. You just avert your eyes when you walk past a mirror. You put your hand up to separate yourself from the mirror. Or you squint into it because you're so afraid of what's going to be looking back at you. At some point, you realize that things are not what they used to be in one way or another. And one of the first signs of this is I'm afraid. Your neck. You know, your neck. Our faces are lies, but our necks are the truth, is a line in my book. And you know, I really mean the neck as a kind of canary in the mine in some weird way, in that we all do a huge amount to pretend that we're never going to get old and we're never going to die and we're never really going to end up looking like our mothers or any of that. But there is always a moment when some piece of you gives way and makes you confront the fact that there is less on the road ahead than there was behind you. And so that's really where this book started, with a piece about my neck, but it's not just about the neck.
Well, you look lovely in the pictures that I have seen.
I know, because I'm wearing a turtleneck.
Well, in California, nobody dies. You may have noticed this. Unless they eat red meat or smoke.
That's right.
When someone says that someone they died, did they smoke? Did they eat red meat? Otherwise, you are immune.
That's right.
So talk about the book a little bit.
Well, you know, I wrote a piece called I Feel Bad About My Neck, and I kind of looked at it and thought, nobody's really writing about this. When people write about getting older, it's so boostery, it's so peppy.
Well, I'm thinking about Gail Sheehy's book, where you were supposed to have better sex in your 70s than you ever did in your 20s.
I know, and that is just a lie, unless, of course, you've never had any sex at all in your life, and by a miracle you start having it in your 70s, perhaps you will have better sex in your 70s than you ever had. But essentially, why do people write this stuff?
Why do they?
I don't know, because it's just not true. So I thought, well, it would be fun to write a little bit about what it's actually like. And I made a list of things that seemed to me to be on my mind, like my endless second career of maintenance, which just takes up more and more time and costs more and more money every second.
Well, you talk about hair, and I think women get to a certain age where they get thin on top and then they start growing mustaches to compensate.
Yes, I also talk about mustaches, which are really a shock to the system. And I talk about hair dye, which takes so much time every year and costs so much money. It's just a mind-reeling thing. But, of course, hair dye is so interesting because when we talk about why people look so much younger, we're always talking about exercise and plastic surgery, but the real reason that women look younger than they ever did is hair dye. It's just a simple answer of a product that is now available that simply wasn't 50 years ago. When I was growing up in California, basically the only women who dyed their hair, except for the ones who sort of made it blue after they turned gray. but there was only one color that my mother's friends dyed their hair, which was called strawberry blonde. And it was sort of pinkish. And there wasn't really good hair dye. That you know, for women with dark hair, you could put henna on your hair, but it didn't really look good. It made you look kind of old and bad. Now, of course, you know, there are pockets of the world where there are no women with gray hair at all. You know it existed as a species.
Many of them live on both coasts or in Florida.
Yes, that's right. Although there are gray-haired women in all of those places who choose to be gray-haired, and I just want to say that's fine, but I don't think you deserve a medal for either choice. Do you know? Every so often someone says, why aren't people just graceful about it, and why don't they just have gray hair? Or people say, well, I have gray hair, and I'm proud of it. I don't think there's anything on either side of this. I think it's whatever gets you through the day, whatever makes it possible for you to deal with this thing, which is a shock to the system. Getting older is a shock to the system, not just literally in that your body can't do the things it used to be able to do, but your brain can't do the things it used to be able to do, plus it wasn't expecting this.
Well, but you know, maybe there's a perky compensation here, because if you're avoiding the mirror and all of these body parts that are suddenly on life support, if your brain isn't working as swiftly, you don't remember.
Yes, well, that is, I think, why. I think that's the main reason why people think they're so much smarter when they get older, is that their brains are so empty that they have much less to be smart about, so they definitely are smart. I mean, we have forgotten so much. There is plenty of room to be wise.
You made a really good point about hair dye, that you thought single-handedly, or I'm paraphrasing badly, that it was the reason for the resurrection of a lot of women's careers later in life. It's just that they didn't look their age.
Not just the resurrection, but I think it
prolongation.
Definitely, yes, it keeps them in the workforce in that they don't look as old as they are.
I think your book has hit a nerve. I think it's wonderful to read. It's just a delightful book to read. So once again, you've hit the jackpot, Nora Ephron. I guess I said this earlier, but Nora Ephron is responsible for Sleepless in Seattle and When Harry Met Sally. You've had a really interesting career. Your parents were screenwriters. Did you think that you were going to follow in their steps, or were you going to do something different from what they were?
Oh, my God. The last thing I ever wanted to be was a screenwriter, because my mother was a screenwriter. So, of course, I didn't want to be my mother. And I didn't want to live in California, which you pretty much had to do if you were a screenwriter. I had grown up there, and it was completely clear in the 50s in California it was no place for a woman. I wanted to get back to New York, where I had been born, where I had lived unbelievably happily until the age of 4 or 5, when my parents moved to California and, as far as I was concerned, destroyed my existence by living there. And so I went to New York to become a journalist, which was my idea of a complete rebellion. And then I'd been a journalist for a while when you know, the 70s rolled around and everyone tried to become a screenwriter. By that time, you didn't have to live in California to be in the movie business. Woody Allen and Sidney Lumet and Mike Nichols and Alan Pakula, there were lots and lots of people making movies in New York. So I wrote a screenplay and sort of drifted into writing screenplays, which, by the way, I think is one of the things that, you know, I was really lucky about, and a lot of women are lucky about, which is that if you're lucky, you can kind of change your career a little bit at a certain point.
Well, you managed to take the lemon and make lemonade when you were married to Carl Bernstein, and he was cheating on you while you were pregnant. You got a wonderful book out of that called Heartburn. Did you know?
I know. Isn't that great?
Every woman's, revenge.
I know. Well, you know, my mother had raised all of her daughters with this mantra, which was everything is copy. Every single time something horrible happened to any of us and we tried to tell her about it, she would just say, everything is copy, meaning don't tell me your sad stories, but someday they'll be funny stories. And by the way, if they are, then you can tell me them because I'll be interested in them. And so I just kind of grew up understanding that making lemonade was part of your job. And when I was going through the end of my second marriage, which was not happy, all these ludicrous things would happen that I would kind of say to myself, well, this is horrible. This is just a horrible thing, but it is really funny. And if I ever find a way to write about this, I've got to put this into it. So that became the book Heartburn.
My guest is Nora Ephron. Her new book, number one on the New York Times bestseller list, I Feel Bad About My Neck, and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. I saw your piece in the New York Times on what to expect when you're expecting dinner, and I really thought you nailed it, which is one of your great skills, talking about eating in a restaurant. And you said just as you're about to deliver the punchline, that's when the waiter comes up and asks if everything's okay, and the answer is no, it's not. And it's usually when you're just about to reveal the most intimate thing that you want to reveal to your dinner partners when they walk up.
I know. And that you think they would see that you were talking.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I know.
How's everything going? Well, it was going better until you came on the scene. I quote you a lot, Nora Ephron, because I see your posts on HuffingtonPost.com, and I don't think you like Hillary too much. Talk to me about politics.
I'll tell you, I have loved Hillary in my life, and I am prepared to love Hillary if she has a personality transplant, or in that she and I are not that far apart. We're just one war apart at the moment, and a little side order of flag burning. I don't understand.
But you're going to have to hold your nose and vote for her if she's the Democratic candidate, because we need subpoena power and investigative power.
I will vote for her. I will vote for any Democrat in a storm, and that's the truth. But I am very frustrated at the fact that she seems to have decided in an unbelievably methodical way that she will simply walk down the middle on almost everything. Not everything, by the way, because this over-the-counter morning after pill that she got through, she did not get through from walking down the middle. She got it through from taking a hard line and refusing to, you know, throw her support to the FDA nominee and all of that stuff. That was great. But I don't get her on this war. I don't get a lot of Democrats on this war, and she's one of them. And I'm very frustrated because I think there is, there's obviously a way to be in favor of getting out of this mess without feeling that you're going to be pictured as betraying all these poor guys who died, let's face it, for nothing.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. For nothing.
For nothing.
20,000 casualties. The death toll is approaching 3,000. 20,000 casualties.
And the Iraqis, I mean, it's just horrifying. And so I don't get this thing. I read this piece about her in the New York Times about 5 or 6 weeks ago about what pals she and John McCain are and how they played poker together on an airplane or something, and it just made me sad.
If you were looking into the tea leaves, what do you think is going to happen? Because the Democrats seem to need an injection of Viagra into their spines. I mean, they seem not to. They've given all the ingredients to bake the cake, and they can't bake the cake.
Why we are so loyal to them when they don't seem to have any loyalty to us? I don't get why they. You keep looking around and thinking, well, where is this party that, to me, the Democratic Party is as close to a religion as I ever grew up with. I mean, God in our house was FDR. And so when I say to you I will vote for any Democrat, I mean it, because I have never not voted for a Democrat in my life. But you do look at that party and think, do they deserve my fidelity at this point, because they're cheating on me?
Do you get to vote in California, or do you vote in New York?
I vote in New York.
Well, then you don't get to vote for the governor of California.
No,
I don't. Have you been watching that race?
Yes, I have.
What can you tell us about Arnold Schwarzenegger, other than he wears a lot of makeup? He wears more. his hair and makeup are a chestnut color, not necessarily found in nature.
I know. I think it's pretty clear. It feels to me as if he's going to win, don't you think?
Yes, I think it is. And where's Phil is missing in action, and, you know, we're supporting Phil.
Yes, but Phil reminds me actually of David Dinkins. If I don't know if you remember David Dinkins.
Yeah, the mayor of New York.
Yes, so someone who didn't, you know, who kind of everyone thought they owed a run at the mayoralty for because he had worked in the, you know, he worked so long as a kind of politician that he deserved a chance at it, but he didn't really deserve to be mayor. That's the bad thing about it. And I don't know what has happened to this campaign of Phil Angelides, but I'm not really a fan of Arnold's, but I am occasionally surprised at the things he's in favor of that I'm in agreement with him about. Not, of course, his support for President Bush and a variety of
other things. I don't think he's even been asked what his position is on the war in Iraq. As far as I'm aware of it, nobody's put it to him.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But, you know, he just signed this thing to free up some of this money for stem cell research.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing wrong with that.
No. No, I agree with you. But it's,
you know,
these are all
over
deliberately...
And over and over again, you find yourself realizing, and it's, we're like broken records, that the electorate, honestly, is way more attracted by the idea that you at least believe what you're saying than they are about what you actually believe. It's that weird authenticity. It's so true, it is so hackneyed, and yet it's what we're all missing in the Hillarys of the world. And, you know, the New York Times had an editorial endorsing her for Senate about 2 weeks ago, and it said in it, it's a brilliant editorial, saying why is she so unwilling to squander any of her capital for her principles, because she has principles. She just isn't willing to get out there with them.
What's your answer to that question?
Oh, I think because she made a decision years ago that she was never going to make a mistake.
You know, in private, she's funny, she's warm,
charming.
She's charming when she speaks, and I'm thinking of the Coretta Scott King funeral. When she speaks next to Bill, she suffers badly for it because she seems starchy, he seems easy, he seems effortlessly eloquent.
But she is brilliant, and she would be a fantastic president. She would be fine as a president. We would kill to have her president as opposed to this yo-yo that we have now. That's the truth. But also, I think about Hillary, and almost, I don't mean to use the words in fairness to her, because who cares about that, but I do think that Hillary is a Rorschach for many of us, that we're all very over-identified with her. And we all want her, you know, if we were the sorts of people who would have left our husbands under the circumstances she went through, we're disappointed she didn't. And if we were the people who would have stayed, you know what I mean? We're always reading our own lives into Hillary. She has that as a burden. Nonetheless, she is triangulating 24/7.
My guest is Nora Ephron, her new book, I Feel Bad About My Neck, and other thoughts on being a woman. You're working on a screenplay now? Directing something?
I'm working on a screenplay about a woman named Julie Powell, a real person.
Is she the one who cooked all of Julia Child's recipes?
She cooked all of Julia Child's recipes.
In a little apartment? She went through it?
In a little apartment.
Methodically?
And wrote a blog. And I'm trying to turn it into a movie.
How fascinating.
Yeah, well, there's a lot.
What attracted you to that particular? Because there was one piece that you wrote about your mother giving you a cookbook.
Yes.
And I almost weep because my mother never gave me a cookbook.
I still don't know how to cook.
I sort of assemble, but that's another story. It's a sad story too, as a matter of fact.
It's not too late.
It isn't. Well, what advice would you give me? And here's the thing I do to compensate. I am a recipe clipper. I buy cookbooks. My friends, I don't know if you remember Marion Cunningham, who dear friend of mine, and so on, and so that's how I guess I compensate. And one day maybe I will not be so timid about cooking for people.
I doubt it. You know, you might not, because why should you have to at a certain point?
That's right.
I just associate it with, it's just something I love to do. It's so much easier than writing.
Cooking is so much easier than writing?
Yes.
Talk to me about writing for you. Because you make it look like it's so effortless.
Oh, thank you, but nothing about writing is effortless. Although occasionally, there's a piece in the book about my brief career in the White House. One summer when I was an intern for John F. Kennedy. And that was, of course, a long time ago, in 1961.
Were you one of the few people who never had sex with him?
I am, as far as I can tell, the only woman he ever met that he did not make a pass at. And about 4 years ago, when yet another woman turned up that he had had a thing with, a woman who had had my exact job in the White House, I realized I was the only person who had never had an affair with John F. Kennedy. And that piece I wrote in about 5 minutes. That was a piece I'd been waiting 40 years to write, and I just wrote it. That's probably the only easy thing I've ever written.
Do you write every day?
Well, I don't write every day, but I am in that chair in front of my computer every day. Of course, now there's so many distractions from writing now that we sit at computers instead of typewriters, which when we weren't using them just sat there. They didn't promise you the joys of shopping and reading blogs and doing puzzles and playing games and all the unbelievably exciting distractions of the internet.
Did you know you were going to do all of this? Because if we're looking backward at your accomplishments, you were going to be a journalist, you said, even though it seems pretty remarkable to me that your mother and your dad, but particularly your mother, was a screenwriter at a time when I don't think there were very many female screenwriters.
Right, but I certainly didn't want to do what my mother did. Who does?
Yes, exactly, until we become our mothers.
Yes.
And you have written screenplays, and you've written journalism, and you've written bestsellers, and collections of essays, and you have directed films, which not many women even today get to do. It's a little bit better, but not hugely better, I think. I think you've had a really remarkable career. And you know what? Your neck is the least of it. And if you can take that neck and turn it into lemonade, if you can take that neck and turn it into a bestseller, Nora Ephron, you are an alchemist.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Nora Ephron, whose book is number one on the New York Times bestseller list. It's delightful to read. I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. Thank you, Nora.
Thank you so much.
I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. I just thought I'd throw some more Sleepless in Seattle song, you know? It actually is cooler for the traffic right now. All right, our traffic and weather from the left people here at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We have a humidity tonight, 49%, and I can feel it. But you know what? You look outside, you walk outside, and it is just cloudy, and I mean, I'm sure some of it is smog. I'm almost positive of it. We're at 83, though, so it's gone down a little bit. Tomorrow high is about 92. Our traffic and wet traffic is a little bit blocked up over there, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. Arden Way at Fulton Avenue, we have a hit and run, as we are the capital of Hit and Run in California. McCartney Avenue and Root Avenue, we have a three-car crash. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for. The world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ah, yeah.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But
More importantly, lap dances are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.com. We need your support.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, so little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Help preserve open space in our region by attending the Sacramento Valley Conservancy's annual Treasures of the Valley event on Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center, 6000 J Street. This fun evening spotlights local artists and includes a live and silent auction. You'll also be treated to great food, wine and beer, and jazz featuring Shake Don't Stir. Treasures of the Valley supports the Sacramento Valley Conservancy, the award-winning nonprofit land trust that is committed to preserving the beauty, character, and diversity of the Sacramento Valley landscape. That's Treasures of the Valley, Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center. For more information, go to sacramentovalleyconservancy.org or call 916-731-8798.
To the left, it's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Fourth 9:37 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We're going to be dashing into the arms of the weekend pretty quickly. So we have to get everything. Well, we have another day left. You can join the conversation, 349-1320, toll-free 866-620-6120. I just want to remind you that you have just missed Nora Ephron, which I want to say something about in a minute. Edward Jones will be joining us on Monday. He has won both a Pulitzer and a National Book Award. His new book is called All Aunt Hager's Children. He is a novelist, and he's an African-American who grew up in very, very, very impoverished circumstances, who took, you know, sort of like any job he could get, and was homeless for a little while, I think. And these ideas were forming in his head for years and years, and when he finally, I mean, more than a decade, and when he finally sat down to write the book before this one, which was, I think, called The Known World, it came out in 7 months, and he had it, and that is what won the Pulitzer. And also, I mean, here's his first book, I think it's his first book, and the National Book Award, which is such a big deal prize in literature, and now his new book is All Aunt Hager's Children. So I'm eager to talk to Edward P. Jones, and that's on Monday. On Tuesday, Shelley Lewis, who was one of the co-creators of Air America, will be joining us, and she's got a book about dopey Republicans. And Biba Caggiano will be joining us in the next couple of weeks, I think, here on Enid Live. She has a brand new cookbook out called Biba's Italy. So all of that coming up. If you are just joining us, you missed really a remarkable guest, and that's Nora Ephron, whose brand new book is entitled I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. It's really kind of funny to read. And she makes it look so effortless. She told you that it's not effortless. But like all good things that look the people who are so good at things look like they just toss them off and you don't see the sweat and the labor involved. So I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who's in her boat, but she makes it look good, and she's very funny. Also, she's posts a lot on HuffingtonPost.com, and her political posts are good as well. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320, Red in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid, how are you?
I am very well, Red, thank you.
I'd say we have to stop meeting like this, but this is a perfectly good way to meet, isn't it?
Not bad.
Yep. Listen, in the conversation with Nora, who I adore, I've loved her for years, and I have a confession to make. I laughed through Sleepless in Seattle, and nobody else in the audience did. So, but I just thought it was hysterical all the way through. I think she was being kind when she said that Hillary's behavior is puzzling to all of us. But I've had a hunch about that for years, and I'd just like to play it to you, and I could be all wet. Let me know. You will. And that is that I think Hillary's change, maybe her mid-bill change of life or something, goes back a lot further than we usually talk about. And I make it out to go back to, remember when she was having the town hall meetings all over the country on
healthcare,
on universal healthcare.
Yes.
And, you know, actually, it was one of the braver moments in her whole career, because she was taking on both the government and the insurance industry, who didn't want anything to do with a third party like the consumer getting in on the action. And I thought, you know, it was a shining moment. And then all of a sudden, and where was she? In the Midwest somewhere, I think, Kansas or something. It stopped. And after that, we heard silence. And after that, we heard the end of...
All right, so what's your take on that?
I don't know what to make out of it, except I do make that I waited for a week and then 2 weeks, and I thought certainly at some point there would be a screaming woman coming out of the White House saying, I will not be silent. But it never happened. And I think...
So what's your take on Hillary?
I think somebody got to her. And that she was never the same since, and it was a piece of political reality that she hadn't.
I don't know if I agree. I don't know that I agree with you on that point, but I think you may be onto something else, which is that she started out coming from a Republican household in a Republican area of Illinois, not too far from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And in her heart, she was a little Republican girl. I think didn't she work on the Goldwater campaign somewhere along the line?
She
was a gold.
On that, yeah.
Yeah, and there's some core of her, and then she, you know, goes to school, and it's the 60s or the 70s, and she meets Bill, and things change. But there's some core of her that is got that starchy something that had to... It's like when you have two parents, and one's really easygoing. The one who feels that, the other one feels like they have to be twice as tough to compensate for the easygoing parent. So maybe that's where her starchiness or her insecurity or something comes from when she's speaking. And when she is standing next to her husband and they're both speaking at events, she suffers by the comparison. I think that's the conclusion
so
I would more come to.
Do you think it was personal and internal?
I do, but I don't. You know, but I don't really know, and I don't remember back.
Somebody,
I don't remember
I
back.
Somehow,
read to those.
And I think somebody said something. Maybe Bill, somebody else that put a political reality in her ear that she could not face. And
well, there were problems, though, Red. That whole thing was flawed, and there were tons of problems with that stuff. And at some point, she just she took the brunt of it because a lot of all that those programs and everything were created in secret. At a certain point, it wasn't working, and it wasn't going to work. And I think it.
Yeah, but she was bringing the consumer into the debate.
All right, we're
was,
just.
She was standing straight up and championing that part of it. And that frightened people. I think that frightened the insurance industry. Certainly, it frightened the government too. Because after all, those regulations and those the healthcare system we have was written in the offices of Medicare with the insurance industry sitting there.
Exactly. All right, we're going to leave it there, Red. I thank you for the theory. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about a lot of different things today. We're talking about the gubernatorial debate. We're talking about how I don't think it favors Phil. You have a moderator in the debate who has been in a previous life a Republican legislator. Is not being billed as a debate. It's being billed as a joint appearance. And it's going to take place, and one time only, that's one time only, it is going to take place on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And here you have an electorate that, I think if you're going to vote, if you're interested in politics, you tend to be white, you tend to be older, you tend to, how viewed, unless you're passionate about politics, how many people do you think are going to really pay attention to this debate? And I disagree with Nora Ephron on why people like candidates. It isn't that they think that they believe that the candidate seems like he or she is believing passionately what he or she is saying. I think for whatever the reasons are that you can never quantify, because you can't quantify magic and chemistry and why people want to connect with each other, I think people fall in love with candidates. And even when you stand up and you say, you know, that person you fell in love with is a junkie, is a rapist, is a thief, is an embezzler, people don't want to know it. They will sever their relationship with you rather than to admit that the person that they are in love with has any flaws at all. Because when you're in love, you don't see those flaws. The emotions are stronger than the intellect. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And that's why falling in love is considered irrational. Irrational. It is non-rational. It is a kind of a visceral activity. So people decide who they like. And there are people who call this program all the time who like Arnold. If you say, what has Arnold done for you? They don't ever have an answer. Not a very good answer. They just like Arnold. We like celebrities. Now, even Nora said, well, you know, on some issues, he's and Nora is a sophisticated woman. She's very politically sophisticated. But Arnold is trying to seduce her out of her vote if she could vote in California, but she votes in New York. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And what we find out about people who vote, again, voters and non-voters, the demographic wide divide is wide, says the bee. If you own a home, you are much more likely to vote. 77% of homeowners vote. Only 23% of people renting vote. The people who are not registered to vote, 66% of renters are not registered to vote. 34% of homeowners are not registered to vote. 63% of Latinos are not registered to vote, 3% of blacks, 8% of Asians, 2% of others, and 24% of whites not registered to vote. Likely voters, 72% white, 14% Latino, 6% black, 5% Asian American, 3% others. I think it's pretty revealing. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa Webb.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our traffic is looking not so grim. Northbound 99 just south of 47th Avenue. We have a vehicle in the road. Dillard Road in Wilton in South Sac. It looks like a three-car crash there. And Arden Way at Fulton Avenue. Hit and run. No injuries, but blocking the lane. Our weather, we've got some precipitation I think we're going to see in the next couple of days. You know what? I don't know if the weather's ever really been right, though, has it? So we'll see. Don't hold me to it. We're going to be about 92 for the high tomorrow. We are at 86. Back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Wanted it all.
AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, invites you to the People Before Politics Picnic and Rally, hosted by Rob Haswell, Democratic candidate for the 4th Assembly District, on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6 p.m. at Camp Lotus in Coloma. Bring the family and friends to this free event, featuring live music by Mother Jones and the Jim Dyer Band. The Haswell campaign bus makes its last whistle stop of the campaign on the American River at Camp Lotus for an old-fashioned picnic with free barbecue and fresh farm foods growing in our very own Sierra foothills. And there will be games and other activities for the kids. Rob Haswell will be joined by special guests, including State Senator-to-be Daryl Steinberg and former Congressman Pete McCloskey. Don't miss an afternoon on the American River at Camp Lotus in Coloma on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6, and enjoy a great afternoon of politics, food, and live music. For more information, go to robhaswellforassembly.com or call 530-889-2278. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and Freedom from War invite you to take part in a week of education and entertainment. The first annual Week of Peace is Sunday, October 1st through Saturday, October 7th. The week includes daily events, including a Peace Awards dinner, the screening of the extraordinary film Beyond Treason, a panel discussion on peace featuring congressional candidates, a jazz mixer, and more. The Week of Peace is a unique opportunity to explore with others the realization of a world of nonviolence, peace, and social justice. For more information, log on to freedomfromwar.org or go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com. Find out how you can purchase a passport to all of the events with your $50 donation going to your favorite peace organization. So join AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel and Freedom from War and stand up for peace by taking part in Peace Week, October 1st through October 7th.
That'll do it. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
4:51 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. Sacramento's left channel. If you drink, you're going to make more money in life. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Jonas in Galt. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jonas.
Hello.
I know one thing Arnold's done. He's passed Jessica's law.
He's what?
Passed Jessica's law. You know, passed that.
I cannot hear you, Jonas. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Hello?
Arnold's passed Jessica's law.
I still, you know what, you're breaking up, so sorry. You know, Jonas calls every day. Every day he thinks of one thing, and when I keep asking the question, what has Arnold done? He thinks of something. And then he calls, and then the call breaks up, and I don't know what it is. It's all just one thing. Every day it's like one thing. Well, stem cell research. Remember the thing on Saturday Night Live? It was during Jaws. And then there was somebody dressed up like a shark, you know, there. And then the knock, 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 flowers, knock, 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 cookies, knock, 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 land shark. You know, it was like, dude, that's Jonas. He calls up. Well, try us again, Jonas. We're talking about the debate. We're talking about many, many things, as usual. I want to move into something quickly, which is we talked yesterday about something that San Francisco is going to do. San Francisco, Tom Amiano, who's on the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, wants the police to treat marijuana crimes as the very lowest priority. And we were discussing marijuana. We were discussing the days when Joe McNamara was in his early youth. He had once been the police chief in San Jose. He said, you know, they would just throw that stuff down. If they made a bus, they'd just toss it down the drain because it takes up too many resources. Cost to benefit rate. We have really bigger fish to fry. Well, Kinky Friedman, remember Kinky Friedman, the musician, Kinky Friedman? And he writes mysteries. His group is called Kiki Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys. Remember him? He is running for the governor of Texas. And he says that he favors legalizing marijuana to keep nonviolent users out of prison. If Texas elects him governor, he says he'll try to get locked up pot users released to make room for more violent criminals. Well, guess who's back? Jonas. Hi, Jonas. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Yeah, I like the way you talk about pot, too. That's pretty cool. I think pot should be legalized. And one thing about Arnold, I think Arnold is a great governor. The reason why he passed Jessica's law, right?
You know what? That's the only reason he's a great governor?
No, that's not the only reason he's a great governor.
Give me a real reason. Jonas, give me a real reason. I don't know. Did he pass Jessica's law? I don't know. I think you might be getting your states mixed up, but give me some real reason why, other than you're in love with Arnold, why is he a great governor?
Hey, I'm going to let you know, right? You know, I'm an athletic guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, I go to my gym, right, every day, and I look at Arnold's body, and it's like, wow, you know what I mean? I want to resemble that, you know what I mean? And as a governor of California, a strong governor.
Well, you know, you too, Jonas, you too can resemble that, and there are a lot of steroids around where you could... Arnold took a lot of steroids. I don't think he denies it.
No, I don't take steroids. If you saw my body, you can, I guarantee you that.
Well, okay. Well, I suppose. All right, Jonas, thank you very much. We appreciate your call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. Jonas will call us tomorrow with another reason to vote for Arnold. Today's reason to vote for Arnold has to do with what a great body he has. Body by Balco, I guess. Remember Balco? Those are the people that brought you, apparently are bringing you Barry Bonds and people like that. So this is the steroid lab, the performance-enhancing drug lab that's in the Bay Area, and so everybody's getting hauled off to the pokey left and right with that one. Well, Arnold does not deny. Now, tell me, how does he get away with it? It's because the bar for expectations is set so low. He says all these things about, there are all these allegations that he's grabbing women's boobs, that he's sexually inappropriate with women. We certainly heard that he was inappropriate with Bonnie Garcia, but, you know, she's a Republican, so she's not going to haul him off to the pokey or have him hauled off to the pokey. Then he does admit that he used steroids, which are drugs. undoubtedly, living in a Hollywood culture and doing what he did for all those years, there might have been other drugs as well. And all of that is fine. And then he stands around, he wears more makeup than most women, and he stands around, points a finger at somebody else as a girly man, and everybody's buying his act. I mean, this is just amazing. So nobody says, you know, this guy has used drugs. Do we want Bill Clinton said he didn't inhale, and that was like a huge scandal. Arnold does not deny that he used steroids. He might have even admitted that he uses steroids. How come that's not an issue? How come that he was a drug user, that he was inappropriately sexual, you know, that he was... how is it that none of this is an issue for him? How is it that he's bamboozled the electorate to think that he's actually done something? He's got a very good campaign team behind him who will decamp and will be stuck with him for 4 years if he's the governor. Meanwhile, Phil's campaign is in meltdown. Is the trouble there? 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. So here's Kinky Friedman, and he says that he favors legalizing marijuana to keep nonviolent users out of prison. If Texas elects a governor, he says he will try to get locked up pot users released to make room for more violent criminals. Well, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. And alcohol use helps to boost your income, and this is a new study. People who consume alcohol earn significantly more at their jobs than non-drinkers. This is a study that was published in the Journal of Labor Research. And they think that drinkers earn 10 to 14% more than teetotalers. And that men who drink socially bring home an additional 7% in pay. And they think that the reason that this occurs is because social drinkers are more social.
From Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit CacheCreek.com for more details.
Maine, federal health officials say an outbreak of E. coli in 8 states has been traced to bagged fresh spinach. At least one person died and 50 others got sick. The outbreak affects Connecticut, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan, New Mexico, Oregon, Utah, and Wisconsin. An official at the Food and Drug Administration says they're advising people not to eat bagged spinach. On the eve of announcing more job cuts and plant closings, Ford Motor Company confirms it's offering buyouts or early retirement packages to more than 75,000 hourly workers.
Ford will formally present the buyout offer tomorrow morning. Employees will be offered anywhere from $35,000 to $140,000 to leave the company.
CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason. Tom Libby of J.D. Power says Ford has to scale down as it struggles to reestablish its brands and build market share.
It has to get back to making money so it can invest those funds in products that the consumers want that can regain its stature and its market share. In the long run, this will help the company become healthy and then be able to provide jobs.
20 more bodies were found in Baghdad today, victims of the continuing sectarian violence. And on the outskirts of the Iraqi capital, CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports a suicide car bombing killed two American troops and wounded 25.
The U.S. soldiers that were wounded in this attack were actually guarding an Iraqi power station. It's a facility in the west of Baghdad near Abu Ghraib in that area. And they were attacked by a suicide bomber in a truck. It was an unusually large bomb.
Officials say two other soldiers were also killed in the Baghdad area, one by a roadside bomb and one by small arms fire. And they've announced the death of a soldier yesterday in Mosul. That brings the U.S. military death toll since the beginning of the war to 2,676. On Wall Street, mixed results today. The Dow Industrials down 15 points to 11,527. The Nasdaq gained 1 point to close at 22.28. And the price of oil fell 75 cents. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, CRN Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
CBS News correspondent Peter King reports on an effort in Florida to discourage over-imbibing.
The city of Tampa is considering a ban on free drink, cheap drink, ladies' night, and all-you-can-drink specials because they target young people and promote excessive drinking. Jay Laris is the bar manager at the Press Box Sports Emporium in Tampa. He says if it happens...
I've already come up with different ideas of what I'll have to do to, you know, basically get around it.
He says bar owners will just have to get more creative to keep business coming in. About 30 states are believed to have similar laws, but one alcohol activist tells the St. Petersburg Times that local ordinance might be easier to pass. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Social drinking, on the other hand, can benefit your career. So say two economists who are trying to counter crackdowns on alcohol consumption and proposals to raise taxes on booze. In their study, they say social drinkers tend to be more gregarious, have more friends and more business contacts, and higher incomes, 10% higher for men, 14% for women. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Hey, Heidi, check out the...
AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel invites you to the 5th Annual Voters Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 p.m. to 5:30. This free event presented by the Asian Pacific Islander American Public Affairs Association is your opportunity to hear candidates running for office, including a debate between California Lieutenant Governor Hopefuls John Garamendi and Tom McClintock. Also expect a lively debate on the downtown sports arena issue between supporters including Daryl Steinberg and foes like Assemblymember Dave Jones.
You can also win one of two $1,000 cash raffle prizes for taking a day off from work to vote.
Be an informed voter. Join 1,000 other interested citizens at this year's Voter Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 5:30 p.m. More information is at APAPA.org. That address again is APAPA.org.
Hey, listen.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
You're entitled to it. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Seven minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, Hour 3. I am yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. If you are just joining us, you have missed a wonderful visit from Nora Ephron. Her new book is called I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. It's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. But she's active politically. She's a screenwriter. She's a Hollywood director. Harry and Sally, When Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle, all of those are her films. And she posts on HuffingtonPost.com, and her political posts are really good. So I think we'll be talking with her again. You can join the conversation, 349-1320. Toll-free, 866-626-1320. All calls to Enid Live are toll-free, whether you're inside the area code or you're not. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And we are going to be joined on Monday by Edward Jones, who is an award, Pulitzer Prize-winning and National Book Award-winning author. On Tuesday of next week, we are going to be joined by Shelley Lewis, who is a co-creator of Air America and has written a book about politics and Republicans. And somewhere later in the month, we are going to be joined by Biba Caggiano, who's the owner of the legendary Biba's restaurant in Sacramento, and she has a brand new cookbook out called Biba's Italy, and it looks really wonderful. It looks delish. If you're just joining us, we've talked about the extraordinary situation with the Maloofs and how they wanted everything and pretty much got it, and it still wasn't enough, and so they have walked out the door for the moment. I don't know if it's a ploy or if it's for real. I just got this email from one of you. Let me see if I can find it now. Here it is. The Maloofs certainly don't need any assistance from California taxpayers. The Maloofs, the suave, sports smart, business savvy, sexy and single band of billionaire brothers. And it goes on and on. Anyway, I don't think we, this is from Eva. We don't need these two spoiled brats in Sacramento. We can do better. Well, I think we can do a lot better. I didn't like the deal in the first place, and it has only gotten worse. We've also talked about the fact that there's only going to be one debate, and it's hardly a debate, more like a conversation between Arnold and Phil. It's going to take place on a Saturday night in Sacramento at Sac State, 6 o'clock in the evening on a Saturday night, so not what you call a high-traffic time. Usually the Lawrence Welk hour, isn't it? At 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. Are they still alive? How are they doing that? Anyway, the moderator is the head of the California Broadcasters Association. I'm sure he's a lovely man. I may have met him even. But he is a one-time Republican legislator from Reading. and he is going to be the only non-candidate on the debate stage. And he said that he will select the questions after, quote, reaching out to as many voters as possible. I would feel more comfortable having somebody with neutral credentials in there who wasn't a former Republican legislator, because right away that taints the perception that he's maybe not going to be completely fair. I'm sure he's going to try to be completely fair, but... And if he were a news person, he wouldn't have to canvass the voters for what questions to ask. He would know which are the questions to ask, don't you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Here are the big debates about the debate. Are they going to stand up or are they going to sit down? Well, Schwartzy's camp wants to sit down because Schwartzy's not as tall as Phil. Phil's taller than Schwartzy. Well, so I bet they sit on those chairs where you can adjust the height. So then Schwartzy's going to adjust his height real high, and he's going to look taller. And then Phil's campaign says they don't think that there should be notes. Shouldn't come in with notes. They shouldn't know what the questions are in advance. And Statham has said that they will not have the questions in advance. And Phil's campaign doesn't want anybody to be able to come in with notes. And so Statham is deciding about that. They haven't decided. Somebody from the Angelides campaign describes it as a conversation. It's a joint appearance. It's not a debate. Schwarzenegger's campaign manager, Steve Schmidt, who used to work, by the way, for Cheney or Rove or both, said that a single debate is the best way to attract viewers. Oh, give me a break. They're afraid. They are deathly afraid to have Arnold debate Phil, because I think Phil, I would guess, would do better in a debate than Arnold. I hope that that's the case. So they're only going to let him, and who knows, is he going to wear that same device that Dickie wore when he debated Gore? You know, it was some little box attached to, and he was getting pointers in his ear, we think. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Angie and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello.
Hi, Angie, welcome.
Yes, Enid?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for accepting my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
And I agree with you on this so-called debate. It's just a joint appearance. Anyway, what I can't understand is how we can elect a governor who is afraid to be on television. He refused 7 other offers. Like from L.A., Fresno, San Francisco, Meet the Press, the California Conservation Voters.
All right, now, well, wait a minute. Now, he's the guy who wears all this makeup and took steroids to puff up his body and is too afraid to debate Phil without being able to sit down and know the questions in advance. And is this the guy, is this the same governor who's calling other guys girly men?
I know. But my thing is, I'm afraid that they'll discover how not sharp he is. How really?
But for the people who love him, it's not going to matter.
I know.
That's what's really sad. And here's what's also sad. Phil's campaign sounds to me like it's an inept campaign.
Yes. Yes. So, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Angie.
Keep up the good work.
I appreciate your call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And if you're just joining us, the revelation, and here's an example of Phil's campaign sort of cowering in the corner, the revelation that at KFI Radio in Los Angeles, a radio station that I have done a little bit of work for, one of their hosts routinely accesses that website that Phil got into trouble for accessing, or Phil's people did, that none of it is password protected. It's been out there forever, all this private conversation. And I don't know why Phil's campaign isn't turning it around and saying, this is a governor? Is this who you want to be chief executive? A guy, he can't protect his website. How's he going to protect the state of California? How's he going to protect you? In fact, there are all these Homeland Security monies that the state hasn't even applied for because it's mired in its own bureaucracy. So how is he the right guy? I mean, I would really go to town and turn it around on him. Ann in Folsom, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ann. Ann?
The whole topic of the groper and the MIA guy, I don't know. If this is the best Phil can do, It's not good enough.
I missed the first part of what you said. Say it again.
Regarding, you know, the groper and Phil, who's been MIA.
Oh, yes.
If this is the best Phil can do, it's not good enough. His career needs a boost, and the groper needs a booster chair. I think that would be a little more inconspicuous than a phone book. Maybe his favorite restaurant, the Esquire. Maybe they would like to donate a booster chair.
Well, he's off the Esquire now because Randy Perigary, it was reported, had a fundraiser for Phil in his home. So now the governor goes to a place called Luca, it was reported.
Well, maybe Luca has a booster chair.
Well, maybe they do.
Anyway, he needs an oust and Phil needs a boost. And he still needs, and Schwartzy still needs a chair.
Schwartzy does need a chair.
Anyway, I don't know what to say. I think this is pretty...
I think we ought to collect a lot of Viagra pills and send them to Phil's campaign. Like, you guys need an injection of this in your campaign.
Yeah, in their campaign and in their...
They need a lift. They need a lift in their campaign. So we'll send
boost.
Them a boost.
Back to a boost. Thanks,
Edith. Thank you, and I appreciate the call. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Of course, the other news that we talked about, and I want to add to the conversation, is that Ann Richards died. She was witty. She was flamboyant. She went from being a homemaker to a national political celebrity. She was only 73. She died at home surrounded by her family. She was diagnosed with esophageal cancer in March, so it was quick, and underwent chemotherapy. The silver-haired, silver-tongued Richards said that she entered politics to help others, especially women and minorities. She said, "I didn't want my tombstone to read." She kept a really clean house. Richard said, "I'd like them to remember me by saying she opened government to everyone. And, you know, she did a terrific job." Her family said that as governor, she was most proud of two actions that probably cost her re-election. She vetoed legislation that would allow people to carry concealed handguns, automatic weapons, and cop-killer bullets. She also vetoed a bill that would have allowed the destruction of the environment over the Edwards Aquifer. She grabbed the national spotlight in the 1988 Democratic National Convention when she was the state treasurer of Texas. She reminded the delegates that Ginger Rogers did everything that Fred Astaire did, only backwards and in high heels. She sealed her reputation with a blast at Bush Sr. Poor George, he can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth. She appointed the first black University of Texas regent, the first crime victim to join the state criminal justice board. She appointed the first disabled person to serve on the human services board and the first teacher to lead the state board of education. Under Ann Richards, the fabled Texas Rangers pinned stars on their first black and female officers. She polished Texas image, courted movie producers, championed NAFTA, oversaw an expansion of the state prison system, and presided over rising student achievement scores and plunging dropout rates. She took time out to celebrate her 60th birthday by earning her motorcycle driver's license. Throughout her years in office, her personal popularity remained high. One poll put it at more than 60% the year that she lost to Bush. And Bush, who issued a statement today saddened at her death, the only reason she lost to Bush is because Karl Rove circulated rumors that she was a lesbian. She has four children, and the rumors were circulated that she was gay, and that is what helped to defeat her. So look at all of her accomplishments. This is pretty amazing. All of these, this whole litany of accomplishments that she was able to achieve. What has Dickey accomplished? What they were able to accomplish was smear and fear. That's it. What has he really accomplished that was a plus? Here's what Ann Richards did. Appointed the first black to University of Texas regent. First crime victim to join the state criminal justice board. Appointed the first disabled person to serve on the human services board. Appointed the first teacher to lead the state board of education. Under Richard, the fabled Texas Rangers pinned stars on their first black and female officers. It's quite a litany. And along with her other achievements. But fear and smear, I guess, it's possible to undermine that which is good and useful and highly accomplished. Isn't it amazing? There's a law in economics called Gresham's Law. It says that cheap money drives dear money out of circulation. So in this administration, the Bush administration, what you've got is cheap money. And they'll stop at nothing to drive the good stuff out of circulation. And as we continue, I want to share the latest in what's going on in Washington and what's going on with the administration. But never forget that those people who feared and smeared in the Bush administration are now working for Arnold in this election. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, the weather's looking pretty good there, Enid. We have highs tomorrow right around 92, 93. I mean, I guess it's your the way you think if you walk outside and say, it looks a little cloudy. But I really am enjoying it. A nice little breeze. Lows tonight right around 57. And we might see a little rain, though, over the next couple of days. Our humidity's at 48. We have a three-car crash, El Camino Avenue, just west of Watt Avenue. Green Valley Road at Ponderosa. We have a three-car crash blocking the lane. Two cars got into it. Westbound 50 just west of Folsom Boulevard, Fair Oaks Boulevard and Manzanita, a three car. And, oh, let's see, north the loop at the Ann Boulevard, Britain Wind Way, there's a three car crash there as well. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Exposing the right as wrong. It's Enid Live at 349-1320 on Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm Scott Farrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk. Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320 west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320 and benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320 and benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com. Benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320. Benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com. Benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320 and benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320 and benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320 and benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320.
Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, and I think we have a weather revision. Lisa West, what's going on?
Well, you know what we do?
Is that a weather with an H or without the H? A weather, or not
weather.
The weather is going to be as advertised. Yes.
I don't sound like Scarface, but weather. You know what? I do appreciate someone did bring it to my attention. I said 86, and I meant 76 degrees on that. I apologize.
So what is 76 degrees? What it is right now, or what it's going to be?
No, what it is right now, and I'm getting a little bit more... information on the reason why it fluctuates so much, because it has been fluctuating since noon. So I'll keep you posted, Enid Live.
Okay, thank you very much, Lisa West. The weather report. This is, don't get me started on television weather. Weather, when those weather, and they have Doppler radar, and they still don't get it right most, and they're paid for not getting it right most of the time. All right, here it is. Bush has said that capturing bin Laden, he told this to Fred Barnes, an obsequious sycophant, if that isn't the, from the Department of Redundancy Department. Fred Barnes, who's the editor of the Weekly Standard, appeared on Fox, and said that Bush told him that capturing bin Laden is, quote, not a top priority use of American resources. Do I have that right? Capturing bin Laden is not a top priority use of American resources. Well, what in the world would be the top priority use of our resources? He said that bin Laden doesn't fit with the administration's strategy for combating terrorism. Bush's priorities, just months after declaring he wanted bin Laden dead or alive, Bush said, "I'm truly not that concerned about him." And we haven't heard about bin Laden for the last 5 years until they sort of, or 4 years or so, until they trotted him out for 9/11. Capturing bin Laden, as Nancy Pelosi really recently pointed out, will not necessarily make America safer because it would come 5 years too late. I want to say...
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. If you've got a bag of spinach in the fridge, throw it out. Federal health officials are advising Americans not to eat fresh bagged spinach because it's been linked to E. coli outbreaks in 8 states. In Wisconsin, one person died. Dr. Pascal Imperato, former New York City Health Commissioner, says infants and the elderly are most vulnerable.
Very old usually have weakened immune systems. They don't fight infections off as well as younger people. And in very young children, their immune systems are not yet fully mature.
Other states affected by the outbreak are Connecticut, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan, New Mexico, Oregon, and Utah. Ford Motor Company, on the verge of announcing massive cutbacks, is offering buyouts or early retirement to its hourly workers, more than 75,000 of them. Jeff Gilbert of station WWJ reports from Detroit.
The buyouts allow Ford to drastically reduce its workforce without getting into a head-to-head confrontation with the United Auto Workers Union. The next step will be more job cuts and maybe even more plant closings as Ford prepares to accelerate the turnaround plan it announced last winter.
They did not go anywhere near deeply enough last January, so that's clearly what you're going to be looking at now. I mean, whacking people by the tens of thousands.
Automotive News editor Peter Brown says Ford has to shrink to adapt to a declining share of the market. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Depending on age and years of service, the buyouts are worth between $35,000 and $140,000. President Bush put his prestige on the line today, making a personal visit to Capitol Hill to make the case for his plan to deal with suspected terrorists.
It's not often the President of the United States travels the long mile from the White House to the U.S. Capitol. But even this rare lobbying trip wasn't enough to head off a rebuke from members of his own party on a key element in his war on terror, military trials for terror suspects.
CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson. The Senate Armed Services Committee passed a measure requiring that all suspects be confronted with the evidence against them, and it would not, as the president wants, immunize CIA interrogators from prosecution for violating the Geneva Conventions. Mr. Bush threatens to veto it. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell publicly broke with the administration today, endorsing the Senate Republicans' plan in a letter that said the world is beginning to doubt the moral basis of our fight against terrorism. Dwayne Dog Chapman, the bounty hunter who stars in a reality TV series, was proud 3 years ago after he captured convicted rapist Andrew Luster in Mexico.
When we first got in this chase, it was not about the money. It was about Andrew Luster versus the dog. Andrew Luster lost, and Dog won.
But now Dog is in a pen. Bounty hunting is illegal in Mexico. Today, Chapman and two co-stars were arrested by U.S. Marshals in Hawaii on charges of illegal detention and conspiracy. Luster, an heir to the Max Factor Cosmetics fortune, is in prison serving a 124-year sentence. The Dow down 15 points. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Researchers showed off the latest thing in prosthetics today, a woman with a bionic arm. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the story.
TV had a bionic woman.
Steve, do you think I'll be able to play the violin when my hand gets better?
Well, sure.
Oh, that's so great, because I have never been able to play it before.
The first real-life bionic woman, motorcycle accident victim Claudia Mitchell, is thrilled just to be able to use her thoughts to control her artificial arm and hand.
I can rotate and have several ranges of motion all at the same time.
Her hand's sensation nerves are now attached to skin near her shoulder. The dream, to someday send those sensations where they belong. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
26-year-old Mitchell is one of six people fitted with the arm, which was developed at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. In Los Angeles, a 46-year-old man has been arrested and charged with impersonating a federal agent. Authorities say Nelson Mercado hoped his phony credentials would get him a job doing security for Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This month at Jackson, the Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists?
campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
So 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to hour four of Enid Live. This is the Thursday edition of And I Am Yours from 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And I want to give you a little bit of a heads up, upcoming guests. We are going to be joined on Monday, September 18th at 4 o'clock. By Edward Jones, who has won both the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. He has written a new book called All Aunt Hager's Children. September the 19th, Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Shelley Lewis, co-creator of Air America and a veteran TV news producer, has written a book called Naked Republicans, a full frontal exposure of right-wing hypocrisy and greed. And coming attractions include our own beloved Biba Caggiano, whose restaurant Biba in Midtown is considered, if not the best in Sacramento, among the best. She has a brand new book out called Biba's Italy, Favorite Recipes from the Splendid Cities. And it looks like a splendid book. And maybe, we're hoping to get some additional copies from the publisher and we might be able to make them available to some of you. So we're keeping our fingers crossed on that. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. So if you're not near a radio at work and you want to keep up with what we're doing, that's a good way of doing it. And we have a website. And if you register as a Legionnaire, you are by the possibility of winning all kinds of prizes. A couple of things before we get underway here. This is something. This is a media story, I don't know if anybody has watched Meredith Vieira. I think her numbers have been pretty good in the Today Show. She looked absolutely dazzling in the clips that I saw, but I confess I haven't watched the Today Show for a long time. Her first day, the Today Show delivered a 5.5 rating and an 18 share. Good Morning America was at a 3.4 rating and 11 share, and CBS, which has never done well in its morning shows, pulled a 1.9 rating and a 6 share. So Meredith Vieira, for a while, a Good Morning America and the Today Show were neck and neck, but with Meredith Vieira there delivering a punch, we'll see what happens over the long haul. The FCC apparently ordered its staff to destroy all copies of a draft study that suggested that greater concentration of media ownership would hurt local TV news coverage, said a former lawyer at the agency. The report was written in 2004, and it came to light during the Senate confirmation hearings for FCC Chairman Kevin Martin. Barbara Boxer, Democratic senator from California, of course, received a copy of the report indirectly from someone within the FCC who believed the information should be made public. So here it is. There was a study. Barbara Boxer said she was dismayed that this report, which was done at taxpayer expense more than 2 years ago and which concluded that localism is beneficial to the public, was shoved in a drawer. It was apparently destroyed. The FCC ordered its staff to destroy all copies of a draft study. You know, we know that that's the case. We're working here. Entercom is a big ownership, but they're not as big as Clear Channel. And when 1996, the telecom bill was written, it really allowed the Wild West to happen. Certainly, it decimated a lot of radio. You may not ever hear me talk about this again when they pull me off and haul me off to the pokey, the radio pokey, but here it is. It was the worst thing that could happen to radio. What you got is economies of scale, and there was always one example trotted out in, it was either North Dakota or South Dakota, Minot, wherever, whichever Dakota that one's in, where there was a big there was a big, was it a chemical explosion or a train crash or something that caused an explosion, and nobody could be notified because all of the radio stations were owned by one ownership, which I think was Clear Channel, and they were all automated. So there wasn't one single live person who could read the news and who could tell you to stay in place, you know, shelter in place, you know, don't go near this, this is very dangerous, or here's what you should do in an emergency. None of that was available. So when you have all of this ownership, and here are the big media operators, the TV stations, the newspapers, there have been rules in place. You couldn't own more than X number of radio stations in any given market. You couldn't own more than X number of TV stations. You couldn't do cross ownership and own all, you know, TV, radio, and newspapers in the same market, so on. So some of that's been modified. And here was the study done to see, would it be beneficial, would it not? Well, anecdotally, we know it's not beneficial. And what you're getting in a lot of places, especially in a lot of small towns, you're getting, in a lot of markets, you're getting all syndicated programming. You're not getting many local programs. This is why we're really lucky here at AM 1320. I mean, there are a number of Air America stations around the country where there are no local hosts, or very few, and you have here a morning drive show and an afternoon drive show local. Because you want to know what's going on in town. It's really lovely to be local. So just so you know, and the head of the FCC, I think at that time, was Colin Powell's son, and he was very, very controversial because he was. This was Michael Powell, who had ordered the creation of a task force to study localism in broadcasting. And, of course, when the report came out, the draft report, and it wasn't, it was antithetical to what Powell wanted, which was more consolidation, then they ordered all copies destroyed. Isn't this an administration that believes in family values? Would one family value possibly be that you don't lie? Would that be one family value? Just asking. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. So it's pretty outrageous. At a time when the armed forces are not meeting, haven't been able to meet a lot of their recruitment goals, because who wants to go to Iraq? You have a bunch of gay men showing up at recruiting centers. Obviously gay men, they're not hiding it, they say it straight out, and they are being turned away because they are openly gay. Now, the Army has lowered its standards in every way that you can lower them. They are lowering the tests that you take, I think. They are lowering the, I don't know if they've lowered the age at which you can enter, but they've certainly lowered some of the standards so that some people who are questionable mental stability have been allowed in and there have been some serious problems. But they won't let you in if you're gay, if they know that you're gay. Three young men who tried to enlist in an Army recruiting station in Madison, Wisconsin, appeared to be first-rate military material. Two were college students, and the other was a college graduate. They had no criminal records. See, and the Army also had a thing, I think, where if you smoked marijuana five times, you could enter the Army, but if you smoked it a sixth time, you couldn't. Something like that. I don't know whether they've changed it or to what extent they've changed it. But in any event, two of these three guys were college students. The third was a college graduate. They had no criminal records. They were fit and eager to serve at a time when wars on two fronts have put a strain on American troops and the need for qualified recruits is great. But the recruiter was forced to turn them away for one reason. They are gay, and they are unwilling to conceal it. Don't judge me because of my sexuality, said one of the three, who's 20 years old, a self-described Republican male from a military family who has, quote, a driving desire to join the armed forces. He says, judge me because of my character and my drive. As the Pentagon's search for soldiers grows more urgent, gay rights groups are making the biggest push in nearly a decade to win repeal of a compromise policy, don't ask, don't tell, that bars openly gay people from serving in the military. Why is this an issue in the military? Those of you who are in the military, I've never been in the military, but I know in ancient Greece, gay lovers routinely fought in battle together because it was thought that if you fought in front of your lover, you would fight more heroically. So it was never an issue. why is it such a big deal in the armed forces? I don't get it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Now, guys, some guys can be really hounds. And women are used to dealing with their, you know, unwanted sexual attention or passes. But is the fear, are guys so wussy that they are afraid that if they're in the armed for, if they're in the military with other men who may be gay, I guess as opposed to the priesthood, it could be an issue. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Why is this an issue? So if you're a military person, or if you, even if you're not, but definitely if you're a military, we'd love to hear from you on this. Here are gay men. They're not willing to conceal that they're gay. They really want to serve. I think they're crazy for doing it because it's so dangerous there. And it's, you lose your life for nothing. Why are we there? Nothing. Has nothing to do with 9/11. The policy, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, was grounded in belief that open homosexuality is damaging to unit morale and cohesion. Is it, though? Stipulates that gay men and lesbians must serve in silence and refrain from homosexual activity. And that recruiters and commanders may not ask them about their sexual orientation in the absence of compelling evidence that homosexual acts have occurred. The push for repeal follows years of legal setbacks as well as discord among gay rights groups about how or even whether to address the issue. Now, rather than rely on the courts, advocates are focusing on drumming up support in towns across the nation, spotlighting the personal stories of gay former service members, and pushing a Democratic bill in the House that would do away with the policy. In August, the gay rights group Soul Force opened a national campaign by recruiting openly gay people like the three young men in Madison, Wisconsin, who would have enlisted in the military if not for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The move to change the policy faces stiff resistance from the Pentagon and Republicans in Congress, who, in a time of war during a tough election year, have no longing for another contentious debate about gay troops. Now, let me see if I have got this right. They don't want gays to marry. They're happy to run to use that as a wedge issue. But they don't want to talk about these gay men who want to serve at a time when recruitment goals are not being fulfilled because nobody wants to serve. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Should gay men, or women for that matter, be allowed to serve when they, you know, when they are openly gay? When they say, look, this is what I am, I'm openly gay. Should they be allowed to serve? I personally think they're nuts for wanting to serve. But if that's what you want to do, and you want to do this, be my guest is my thought on it. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I don't know why there's so much fear about it. I don't know what gay marriage has to do with, you know, straights are sabotaging marriage more than gays could ever sabotage marriage. 50% of all marriages fail. So heteros are sabotaging marriage. They don't need any help from any outside group. They're doing a fine job of sabotaging marriage on their own. And if gay people want to get married, God bless them for wanting to embark on a failing institution. Hope springs eternal. Love lasts forever. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Bob in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, I'm one of those conservative types, 27-year veteran from the Army, and I've been married 44 years to the same woman, a real dinosaur.
okay.
you mentioned the divorce rate. I think there's a word that has fallen out of the American vocabulary called commitment. You take a commitment and a vow to be married. But as far as in the military, I don't care if a guy is gay or straight, but I don't tell people what I do in my bedroom, and I don't want to hear about what he wants to do in his bedroom. But if a guy is openly gay and I have to take a shower with him, it makes me nervous. That's one of the things that...
Why does it make you nervous if he's not coming on to you? What's the big deal?
Because if he does come on to me, then I'm going to clobber him. I'm going to get court-martialed.
Wait. If you had a brother, would he like cheese?
If I had a brother, I have a brother who's a retired major out of the Air Force.
But if you already, do you have a sister?
I'm sorry.
Do you have a sister?
No, I don't have a sister.
If you had a sister, would she like cheese?
I have no idea.
There you go. I mean, you're jumping 50 steps ahead, and you're letting the fear that somebody is, you know, if you had a murderer, somebody who was mentally unstable, and they are taking mentally unstable people in the military, seems to me that'd be a greater threat to you than some guy in the shower. Don't bend over for the soap.
Well, here's the way I feel about it. Person's sexuality, person's bent, gay, straight, whatever, should be kept to themselves. That's it. That's the way I feel about it. I mean, if they want to be gay, if they want to be straight, if they want to be married, I don't care. But the military is not where you're supposed to be.
I would think that what you want in the military is the same thing you want if you were in the police, and that is you would want, in law enforcement, you want a partner. Or people in your unit that you knew you could rely on, who were smart, who could back you up, who could do the job. That's what you want, isn't it?
That's what I want.
All right. So right now, the military is taking people who can't pass tests because they can't, because the military is not able to fulfill the recruiting commitments. They're taking people who are mentally unstable. They've already had some problems with Marines and Haditha. So I don't know how, you know, I would want people who are smart and could do it and really want to be there.
That's the way I feel about it. As long as they keep what they're doing in their bedrooms to themselves, I can.
Well, if somebody tells you they're gay and they're not coming on to you, are you threatened by that?
I feel a little bit, let's put it this way, I have a Judeo-Christian background, and yeah, it makes me a little nervous.
Now, can I ask you, Bob, could I ask you your age? If you've been married for 44 years, you're roughly what, middle to late 60s?
I'm in 68 years old, yes.
Well, you know, if somebody thought you were cute, you should smile and say thank you.
Well, see, you know, there's one other thing that I might mention.
Benjamin Franklin always hit on older women, and you know why? Benjamin Franklin always hit on older women. Do you know why?
Well, I know why. I don't know what.
Well, he hit on older women, older than himself, because they were so grateful, he said.
Okay.
All right, well, Bob, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Henry and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi. I had a couple of quick comments about something you had said before. You know, I think that the reason that that the military is hesitating on allowing openly gay service members is because there's actually been a few cases of folks who were homosexuals who were found out and then who were actually assaulted or beaten up or pretty seriously hurt by members of the unit. And so I think that you said before that there's no evidence that it causes, you know, difficulty in the unit. And apparently it does, because some people are uncomfortable with the idea.
Oh, I see. And so they do like a Matthew Shepard.
Whatever they do to these people, and it does cause, and you can imagine that causes problems, because, you know, you don't want people in the unit fighting about sort of things that basically fighting about anything.
Well, but also, here's what you don't want. You don't want somebody who says he's openly gay to get beat up by his unit members. That is really savage and horrible. 349-1320. Maggie in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hey, Enid.
Hey, Maggie.
I'm listening to Bob here, and Bob does not want to know about anybody else's relationship. He doesn't want to know that the guy is openly gay. But the first thing out of Bob's mouth is that I'm heterosexual and married and have been for 47 years. And one of the last things he said was, I know why I'd hit on an older woman. Now, what's the difference between Bob saying, I'm married, and this is I have a loving wife and a relationship. The very first thing out of his mouth is obviously how he identifies himself. But why can't we say, this is my partner of 47 years?
Well, I think he was, in fairness to him, I think what he was trying to say is that he's a dinosaur, but he doesn't care what anybody's sexuality is. However, he doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to know about it, because if he and he are in the shower together, he's going to feel uncomfortable knowing the guy is gay because the guy could hit on him. And that's why I said, if you had a sister, would she like cheese? I mean, there's all these hypotheses. If.
I bet Bob has met more gay people than he could possibly imagine and has no idea he's ever met them.
That may very well be true. Maggie, I thank you for the call. He's probably met more gay people than he can shake a stick at. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We have one line open on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our weather is looking pretty good. Now, okay, so the weather has gone down, and I'm still going to find that out. I've got a call into a meteorologist that I know pretty good, so we're going to find out. But believe it, it's to 66 degrees, and I'm going to step outside. Our humidity, though, is at 49%, and we might even see the same tomorrow, though near 91, they say. We'll find out. Our traffic is looking all right to southbound 99. By Fruit Ridge Road, we have a three-car crash. Bradshaw Road, a Calvine Road. We have a hit and run. Looks like a fire is on in a car and blocking the lane there at El Camino Avenue and Walnut Avenue. Southbound I-5 at Del Paso, blocking the roadway onto the freeway. We have a disabled vehicle in the middle. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... Alright, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boz Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If you're on personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8th. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net.
We need your support.
Left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six 31 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. What we're talking about is Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't want to know. Gay groups are hitting armed forces recruitment centers wanting to enlist. They really want to do it. Some of them are college students. Some of them are college graduates. And remember now that the armed forces, the military, has not been able to meet its recruiting quotas a lot of months because people don't want to go to Iraq to become cannon fodder. And so they've had to lower their standards. So here are college graduates, college students, people with no prior criminal history, and they want to join, but they're being turned away because they are gay. Is it now about time to revisit that subject? And if people want it, the sexuality is irrelevant. If you are competent, if you can fight, if you're strong, if you've got all the requisite skills that are necessary, I say, why not? Wilson in West Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It makes me quite lethargic to my core to have
military. Lethargic to your core?
Yes, to my stomach. Core, stomach.
Lethargic, meaning you want to go to sleep?
No, lethargic means very sick and weak. You know, you can use it in various different ways.
Okay.
But it makes me sick to my stomach to have that happen in the military. I just don't like the thought of me having to put a rocket inside of a rocket launcher, bending over, and a strap looks at my back end, and, you know, you don't know what he's thinking in his head right then and there.
Have you ever been in the military?
No, but, but as a guy, I know what I do when I see a lady bending over.
I think you're so afraid of gay men, and I think you're so afraid of things that you shouldn't be afraid about. I think you're so threatened. Why would that be, Wilson? Why are you so threatened?
Well, think about...
That everybody, you're so gorgeous, that every man who meets you wants to hit on you? Is that it? Because you want to hit on women? So if you're such a big, strong, tough guy, I'm sure that a lot of women know how to say no to you. So if that were the case, I would think a big, strong, tough guy like you could say no to somebody else if that were the case. And why do you assume that that were the case?
Well, it's just the way I feel, you know.
Have you ever been, I know, but have you ever been in the military?
No, I haven't been in the military.
Well, you know what? You can call me up with all kinds of drivel telling me you think the world is flat, and if I say to you, Wilson, it's not flat, it's round, you can say, yeah, but I don't feel that way. Well, that's nice. Good.
But I'm sorry, but I just don't like the idea, and, you know, but they are in the military.
Do you have any gay friends? Do you know anybody who's gay?
Excuse me?
Do you have any gay friends? Do you know anybody who's gay?
No, I don't.
You never met a gay woman? You never met a gay woman? You never met a gay man in your life?
Yeah, I see some very nice, you know, I go out to a bar and see two ladies and whatnot, you know.
Wait, you never met anybody who is gay, so you want to condemn everybody who's gay, but I think if I said to you, would it be fair to condemn people who were, say, African-American or Hispanic, just because they were Hispanic or African-American, what would you say to me, Wilson?
Excuse me?
If I were to condemn all people who were, say, Hispanic or African-American, what would you say to me? Would that be fair, Wilson?
The whole thing, I just don't like strawberries. That's the big deal. That's the bottom line. And I think a man is made for a woman. Only a man and a woman can...
Yeah, but you didn't answer the question. You know, you're filled with prejudice. You, Wilson, are filled with a ton of prejudice, and you don't have any kind of supporting data for it. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Tony and Sack, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Good afternoon, Enid. Actually, I was in the military many years ago, and I can tell you that there always have been quite a few gay people serving in the military.
And I'll bet people know who they are in the units, don't you think? Don't you think it's finally becomes evident?
In many cases they did, but in many cases they didn't. But the issue is far more serious and costly than I think has been indicated so far. There have been a number, up to 50... Arabic military translators who were trained at great expense at the Monterey language school that the Army runs in Monterey, probably cost $50,000 to $100,000 a year at least per person to train them there. They were let out of the military. They were expelled from the military in the last couple of years. Arabic translators.
Well, we do not have enough Arabic speakers.
Yes, and these are native-born Americans, so they're not suspect like the people we hire in Iraq are, because they and yet they were drummed out of the military. And in one case, it wasn't don't ask, don't tell. I recently wrote to Matsui about this. I haven't heard back. In fact, in one case, I forget the name of the sergeant who was drummed out of the military, but it was because of an email campaign against him. He didn't tell. If somebody else just started the rumor, and he was drummed out. But each one of those people, most jobs in the military are not a front line, even now with the war in Iraq. Most of them are behind-the-scenes administration. They're scientific, technical work, all kinds of things not related to frontline fighting anyhow. And that's anybody who's been in the military knows that. But obviously,
so well, then what is the argument against allowing gays in the military, people who are openly gay?
Well, I think you just...
I mean, you know, you're heterosexual. No one expects you to have sex in the workplace. You don't have sex in the workplace. There's appropriate sex and inappropriate sex.
I think you just heard the argument from the very ignorant man who probably has an IQ of 80 that you just talked to. So.
Well, I thank you, Tony. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the information. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Earl in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Earl.
Oh, yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
Yeah, I had a quick point to make about something that you had said before, and I think that the issue as far as why homosexuals aren't allowed to serve in the military is sort of related to what you were saying to a couple of callers ago, is that there's this feeling that men, especially homosexual men, I guess the feeling is, it's a double standard that they are basically want to have sex all the time with every man that they see or something, and doesn't take into account that the fact that people are attracted to certain people, and, you know, a homosexual man might not be attracted to everyone who he sees. And so I think the double standard is, and having intercourse with, you know, a female, if you're a man, or, you know, having intercourse with a person of the opposite sex in the military can get you actually thrown out of the military, especially if that person, you know, is your superior, or, you know, or if you're an officer and you're...
All right, so your point is what, Earl?
Well, the point is that there's a double standard, and the double standard is that they assume that homosexual men want to have sex with other men all the time, that there's no sort of...
Well, you know, I'm struck by Wilson's, he knows what he thinks about women. It's like the thief who thinks everybody else is out to steal. I think that would be one way of putting it. Thanks for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Steve, in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, Enid, the previous caller pretty much said what I wanted to say. Just because a guy is with somebody else doesn't mean that, you know, I can't believe that people of such ignorance are around. And besides that, you know, I think his stomach isn't the only thing that's lethargic. I think his brain is, too.
Thank you, Steve. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Bill, in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, I can hardly hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, I just want to relate a funny story. A number of years ago, I lived in Chicago, and a friend of mine, he and I went to a bar one evening on Lincoln Avenue to hear a friend of ours who had a jazz band. And we were sitting at the bar right across from the band, and he excused himself to talk to a business colleague about a business deal that they were working on. And all of a sudden, another person, a fellow, sat down next to me, and he started to make all kinds of hand gestures to the drummer. Well, it was apparent to me they had some kind of a relationship. And then the fellow sitting next to me, he turned to me, and he said, "Would you like to dance?" I said, "No, but thank you for the compliment."
Well, in the immortal words of Nancy Reagan, just say no.
Yep.
Thank you, Bill.
There was no reason to hurt his feelings.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have a little bit of traffic southbound 99 and on through to Elk Grove Boulevard there. I guess the traffic is just really slow, but our accidents have been cleared up. We do have emergency vehicles blocking the lane northbound Cap City Freeway by Cal Expo due to a crash that has occurred there. And Roseville, Madison Avenue on I-80, a three-car crash involving a big rig. Lows tonight right around 57. We're going to see highs tomorrow, hopefully near 90s, but we are back at about 72, and Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
We may not have solved America's problems yet, but we're working on it on AM 1320,
Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's your right to listen to the left.
Are you paying too much?
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... breed, you sons of Abraham, breed. We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Help preserve open space in our region by attending the Sacramento Valley Conservancy's annual Treasures of the Valley event on Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center, 6000 J Street. This fun evening spotlights local artists and includes a live and silent auction. You'll also be treated to great food, wine and beer, and jazz featuring Shake Don't Stir. Treasures of the Valley supports the Sacramento Valley Conservancy, the award-winning nonprofit land trust that is committed to preserving the beauty, character, and diversity of the Sacramento Valley landscape. That's Treasures of the Valley, Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center. For more information, go to SacramentoValleyConservancy.org or call 916-731-8798.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Eat It Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7. If you missed the Nora Ephron interview, our archived. My shows are archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. One word, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And you should be able to find it there. It was really lots of fun to have her on. We're talking about these... there is a drive, of course, to recruit more people for the military, and many times the military is not able to make its quotas because nobody wants to go and fight this horrible war in Iraq or even Afghanistan is unraveling. And you have people who are gay who are not making a secret of it, men who are highly qualified. I don't know if there are any women doing this, but the men are. In one case, 3 young men who tried to enlist at an Army recruiting station were turned back, even though 2 of them were college graduates, and one was college student, and one was a college graduate. And we know that in order to meet the quotas, the military is allowing people in that they probably would not have allowed in before. People have emotional problems, maybe people have too much of a criminal history. These guys have no criminal history, but they are not being allowed to join, and the reason they're not being allowed to join is that they are gay, and they're not hiding that they're gay. And I think it's time to review the don't ask, don't tell policy, which wasn't much of a, which is, you know, every time you try to do a compromise, what do they say, a camel was a horse decided by committee? That's sort of what you have here with don't ask, don't tell. Now, if you are a member of the military, if you were a member of the military, if you were never a member of the military, how do you feel about this? I think it's fine, and I think gay people ought to, if you are, God bless you. if you are dopey enough to want to embark on a couple of failing institutions, marriage among them, where the failure rate is 50%, and God bless you if you want to offer yourself up on the sacrifice of Iraq and really talk about a failing institution. I'm not saying that the military is a failing institution, but certainly stretched thin. And Iraq is so dicey and so dangerous. Be my guest. If you are qualified, if you're smart, I think we need people who are smart, who are qualified, who really want to do it, who are driven to do it. God bless you for trying. So why are we wanting to exclude this segment? And, of course, there's no appetite for it to be dealt with in Congress because it's an election year and they don't, you know, they're already done with, they're over this. They're over this big time. They want wedge issues like gay marriage, and they're over that, too, for the moment. So in the near term, it doesn't have any chance of any kind of congressional review. A 2004 report by the Urban Institute concluded that at least 60,000 gay people were serving in the armed forces, including the reserves and the National Guard. Well, for all we know, there are gay people in the administration, too. Maybe the president's gay. We don't know. Maybe Karl Rove is. We don't know. But since 1993, at least 11,000 members have been discharged for being openly gay, among them 800 in highly crucial jobs. Now, one of you called in to say that there were a number of people who were fluent in Arabic, trained by the Language Institute in Monterey, at a cost that could well have been six figures or over. And those people were dismissed from the military because they were gay. This is terrible. And the reason that it's terrible is that, first of all, we need people who are Arabic speakers. I mean, that we are shorthanded in that department. And secondly, all this money to train them, and they're dismissed because they're gay? What does that have to do with anything? 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Is that being gay the next pinata? Is that the story here? Mike in Sac, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. Just wanted to make a comment that I think everybody's getting it wrong. People in uniform are ambassadors of the United States, and as you know, we have bases all over the world.
Mm-hmm. So what?
Well,
so what's your point?
My point is the perception that the United States wants large, strong, healthy people, and a lot of people's perception of a gay person.
A lot of strong, healthy. Have you ever been down to the Castro, Mike? A lot of strong, muscular, gay men, gorgeous, in the Castro. So and there are a lot of gay men in a lot of endeavors. There are certainly many in the priesthood, as it turns out, and there are certainly many in the administration. So don't you think those people are representatives for the world, for our country?
Well, I'm sure they are, but again, prejudice, you know.
Well, you're prejudiced. How would you know if someone were gay or not?
Well, you don't.
You don't? Well, so then why is it a perception issue? You don't know who's gay. It's a big, strong guy who's gorgeous. I mean, was Rock Hudson gay? Is Tom Cruise gay? And what about George Clooney? We don't know. Thank you, Mike. 349-1320. I think George Clooney, oh, he's very cute. We like him a lot. We're not saying he's gay, no. John in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, John.
Hi, Enid. Hey, I just had to say, you know, I think what people struggle with is the stereotype that the media perpetuates about gay people. I think that that's what people are having issues with. They automatically resort for whatever reason to that stereotype a lot of times, when in reality, I mean, who's gay? It could be the person next door to you. It could be the person you work with.
That's right.
Does it really, really matter? I mean, if somebody wants to contribute to this.
I think people in the old school of movie actresses, I think Marlena Dietrich had affairs with women. I think maybe Joan Crawford, maybe, I don't know who else, reel off a list of who some of these, so you don't really, maybe even Katherine Hepburn. They used to say that Spencer Tracy was sort of her beard, but I don't know if that's right or not. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Listen, Enid,
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Marilyn Monroe. Who was she in that movie with? Jane Mansfield. Right? Am I right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
but maybe. But
she was the Brazier lady, but I think they had relations. I mean, just
I don't think so. Jane Mansfield was the mother of Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you know what? Whoever she was with, I'm pretty sure they hooked up. Now, speaking of hooking up, hook up to the cell phone and put it back in the carriage while you're driving, because you have two accidents today that have been caused by that. 16th Street at G Street. There's a three-car crash there because of that. And northbound 99 just north of Brantline Road. Highs about, well, I'm hoping 92 tomorrow. Lows tonight right around 57, and we are at 79. Back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, invites you to the People Before Politics Picnic and Rally, hosted by Rob Haswell, Democratic candidate for the 4th Assembly District, on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6 p.m. at Camp Lotus in Coloma. Bring the family and friends to this free event, featuring live music by Mother Jones and the Jim Dyer Band. The Haswell campaign bus makes its last whistle stop of the campaign on the American River at Camp Lotus for an old-fashioned picnic with free barbecue and fresh farm foods growing in our very own Sierra foothills. And there will be games and other activities for the kids. Rob Haswell will be joined by special guests, including State Senator-to-be Daryl Steinberg and former Congressman Pete McCloskey. Don't miss an afternoon on the American River at Camp Lotus in Coloma on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6, and enjoy a great afternoon of politics, food, and live music. For more information, go to robhaswellforassembly.com or call 530-889-2278. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and Freedom from War invite you to take part in a week of education and entertainment. The first annual Week of Peace is Sunday, October 1st through Saturday, October 7th. The week includes daily events, including a Peace Awards dinner, the screening of the extraordinary film Beyond Treason, a panel discussion on peace featuring congressional candidates, a jazz mixer, and more. The Week of Peace is a unique opportunity to explore with others the realization of a world of nonviolence, peace, and social justice. For more information, log on to freedomfromwar.org or go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com. Find out how you can purchase a passport to all of the events with your $50 donation going to your favorite peace organization. So join AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel and Freedom from War and stand up for peace by taking part in Peace Week, October 1st through October 7th.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
Keeping the metal to the pedal.